The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
My name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff, I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me, let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something, oh wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain, contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in Progress and Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I like that better, Kevin. You make that change?
Yeah. I like that better, too. That's good job. That's a keeper.
Yep. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. A little precipitation in the air.
It's moist.
Sprinkling of snow and a little bit of rain and kind of in between here. But I guess for New York on Sunday, it's going to be decent weather?
Yes.
Is that what they're saying?
I believe that is accurate, yes.
Okay, good.
So we'll have good weather to beat up on the Jets.
What do we have for weather?
Good weather. 40,
good weather.
40s, sunny.
Yeah, I think like last week kind of here.
Yep. So, perfect weather to destroy the Jets. Bully
it's a
them.
Big
bully
weekend,
the Jets.
Freddie, too.
What?
You and I were talking about big weekend. It's Saturday
it
games.
It is. We have Saturday games.
We do?
A doubleheader on Saturday.
Two of them.
Yeah.
What?
You go doubleheader and you go two of them.
You go, we do?
Not two doubleheaders.
I was answering you.
I know. That's what was funny, though.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
Some would say it was funny that you weren't aware that there were Saturday games.
I wasn't.
508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Screw you, Perillo. At least I don't think Browner sucks like you do.
A lot of post-show
this guy,
emails yesterday.
This guy, you know what this guy's doing?
No. I may have done that in the past, but I don't think I did it this time.
Let's tell the story. I was on TV the other night, okay? Because that's the show is best when we're talking about ourselves, right?
Right. What does Dale Arnold call it? Navel gazing?
He should know. He wrote the book.
Ooh, check.
That was Paul Perillo, Dale, not me.
If you, I was on TV the other night, and I'm
you just said
I'm coming up to do a segment, and they say we're going to find out why Paul Perillo hates Brandon Browner, and I went, excuse me. So then I'm on, and they're like, now Paul, you think Gary Tangway, Paul, you think Brandon Browner is overrated?
Yeah.
And I said, when did I say? I said I'm not the biggest Brandon Browner fan out there, but when did I say that I hated Brandon Browner? Oh, well, Andy Hart says that you're not a big fan of Brandon Browner. Geez.
There you go.
This guy.
Yeah.
See, so, no. I'm 99% sure I didn't say that.
So I had to go through the whole, you know, it's just, it's not necessarily about Browner. It's just, to me, it's all about Revis.
Right.
It's my love for Revis. It's not necessarily, Browner is better than anything else they have.
But you're on there for what?
And you can't explain it.
So you spent 3 minutes, trying to say, I didn't say that.
You can't explain it because you don't have the time.
Right.
But they like it because it's, controversy.
Right. Yeah.
God. Anyway, a lot of post-show emails yesterday.
Yes. Mostly positive.
Oh, yeah. People.
They liked the argument.
Yep.
Now, it's still about 90% support you and 10% support me, but.
Well, the 90% are people who are just dyed-in-the-wool Patriots fans.
Bullies.
And I understand. It's just a different point of view.
Are you still
going to
call people bullies?
I like competition, and I like
and
orgasms.
I love competition, but in the case of the Patriots, I just want to dominate. I'm not interested in being competitive with other teams. I want them to.
And I think this does harken back to the great debate, where I wanted 10 years of every Sunday I watched the Patriots be good and you wanted the greatest season ever. Yeah. I mean, I think if some psychologist broke us down, it has to do something wired in our brains of how we think.
Yeah, you know, could be. I mean, as a Patriots fan, maybe I'm stuck with that inferiority complex where I'm not going to be happy unless there is no competition.
How can you have an inferiority complex when you're in the greatest run in the history of the modern era?
Because I feel that...
That's true.
I feel that outside of here, people still don't give the Patriots their due.
See, I think you're a moron.
I think you're insane. I really do.
What is wrong with you?
I think that they're just waiting for that opening to just take the Patriots
down. Well, that's true.
But... That's not the same thing that the first sentence you said.
I think it's
people are sort of tired of the same teams being at the top all the time.
I understand.
And they are waiting for the Patriots to fall because they don't like the same team winning all the time.
And I understand.
But that doesn't mean that people don't recognize.
I get that.
Especially if you're not likable.
People also want to discredit what they've done.
No, I see. That's what I sever ties from you. I think what Andy just said is 100% accurate. This is the greatest run in the history of the modern era.
I told you, it might be an inferiority complex. I don't know where it comes.
But I think that you listen to most. Don't confuse the national people that want to see the Patriots lose with the national people. The same people, they don't think they're great, and they don't think that this run has been historic.
Right. Well,
I don't think that those things are the same.
I think there's too many of those people out there, and I just, you know.
I don't think you just listened to what I said.
I just don't know what the Patriots have to do to prove to other people.
I think they've already done it is what I'm telling you. They've proven how great they are, but they're tired of it, and they want someone else to do it.
No, the question is.
They've had enough of the Patriots' dominance.
What do other people have to do to prove to you that they think the Patriots are great?
Yes. That's the question.
Stop saying, well, they haven't won in 10 years, or Belichick hasn't done it with Brady, or haven't done it since Spygate, or, you know, all that crap. Stop that nonsense.
See, I don't think.
But see, again, you
and that you got to admit.
I think all of those things all of those things happen, but you haven't yet told me they haven't won in 10 years, so they're not that good. Or they haven't won it since Spygate, so they're not that good.
No, but
they want to see them continue. They want to see if they can continue to win. Not that they're not great.
And part of the reason is because they're so great, but they come up short. Like, no one says the Colts haven't won in 8 years because the Colts since then have fallen apart.
I know, but
the GM is gone. Before, the quarterback's gone. They had the number one pick.
Before the Colts won their first Super Bowl, that was what we said. Well, they haven't won it, so they're not that good.
No,
why you say that.
No, the reason they say it about the Patriots is because they win their division and go to the AFC title game every year.
They didn't say.
And that's what
Nationally, they didn't say that.
So you're making my point. That's what you say about teams that are great but don't finish it.
Exactly. No, nationally, they didn't say that they weren't good.
We would say that to show that they weren't great.
No, we said it here, the Colts weren't good.
Right.
Nationally, they didn't say that. Nationally, they said they're a great team, but they haven't been able to win it all.
Right.
But everywhere they say it about us, what we used to say about
the Colts. They're a great team, but they haven't been able to win it all. That's what they say about the Patriots over the last 10 years.
We would say it to show that they weren't a great team. That all they did was win regular season.
Right. We would in Boston because we hated Peyton Manning.
Right. And everybody hates us, so that's why they say it everywhere else about us.
Is it true?
Yes. That they say that.
Yes. So is it true?
That they
what they're saying, is it true?
Of course not.
Okay. It's not true that they haven't won since 2004.
But it's not true that that fact makes us not great.
Well, it does, because greatness is defined by this place.
So now I know why I feel like I feel.
Patriots fans started the argument that greatness is defined by Super Bowl rings.
I really didn't think this is the argument we were going to have.
No, the Colts.
I didn't see it coming, but and you're tiring, by the way. I don't ever
he's
want
exhausting
you to call
because
me tiring again.
He changes
you are
it.
Exhausting
I'm not
to deal with.
So just to recap, the Colts, in fact, weren't great until they won a Super Bowl because they weren't great.
That's correct.
The Patriots are great, even though they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004.
No, you're right.
That's what you just said.
No, I know, Paul, but the Patriots fans were wrong to say that. Just like we're...
But you didn't say that at the time.
That's true.
You didn't say that at the time, you fraud.
Oh, my.
I said that's what we would say to say that the Colts
Freddie,
weren't that
No, Patriots
great.
Fans were
and
right.
That's what people true say
Colts,
about us now.
The
Colts
true were great. Greatness is winning.
The Colts were great. The Patriots are great now. It's a silly argument that you're trying to make. People do not think the Patriots are not, quote, that good now because they haven't won the Super Bowl.
True greatness.
People are disappointed that they haven't won a Super Bowl. It's a missing part, that's all. But there's You talk to these people on ESPN every week, and they're telling you, Skip Bayless is telling you in week four, this is the best team in football. Are you telling me that they don't get their due nationally? Don't be silly.
I just don't think they do.
Colin Coward, my God, he would father Belichick's
right,
child
right
if he
now,
could.
Right now, we've quieted them because, you know, the Patriots are, if not the best, one of the best teams in football right now, right this season. We've quieted them, but as soon as something, like, God forbid we lose in the divisional round, they'll be out. See?
Wait, but is it not fact that if you lose the AFC title game, that you didn't win again?
Are you telling me that there would.
That's fact,
you wouldn't
not
look
opinion.
You wouldn't look at them differently if they lost in the divisional round?
What they've done since 2001 is amazing.
And who says it's not? That's my point. Who says it's not amazing?
A lot of people will say it.
But is what they've done
since
2001?
Give me an example of a national
amazing.
Guy who says it's not amazing that they've been able to win 10 out of 12 division titles and constantly be in the AFC championship game.
When I get back to my desk, I'll print out all the stuff for you.
You do that for me.
See, I agree with Patriots fans then and everybody else now. The final recognition for being great is winning the title.
Of course it is.
You can have greatness of longevity. You can have greatness of consistency and all of that, right? But the final check mark is winning the title for greatness, right?
Yeah.
So I agree with Patriots fans. Manning didn't finish for a while, and then he finished. And I agree with everybody else now. Patriots are great, but they haven't finished in a decade.
I think that you can make that comment that Andy just made, and that's not saying that what they've done over the last 15 years isn't amazing.
It is amazing.
And I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't think this sustained period of success in this era. Adam Schefter was going on and on the other day on ESPN about the salary cap era in an era where it's not supposed to be this easy to dominate for this long. That's what I hear all the time. And I think those guys are right, by the way. I think to talk about how good this team has been for how long, that's the most amazing part of this to me.
Easily.
Is that they never have a bad year. That's the most amazing part. There's a lot of teams that have had 10 great years out of the last 12 or, 8 out of the last 9 or 10. They've been good. But there's that year that they went, 6-10 and didn't make the playoffs. Or Pittsburgh was 8-8 and didn't make the playoffs. Baltimore. Whatever. The Patriots never have that down year. That, to me, is the single most amazing part of this whole run. And I hear people talking about that all the time. And
but
somehow
some
you hear and all you hear is people say they haven't won a Super Bowl, and that means that they think they're not good. I mean, just because people are pointing out that they haven't won a Super Bowl doesn't mean that those people are suggesting that they're not good.
That's why they
And some of that is, now I'm going to play Paul's side of the street. You won every year because you're playing a crappy division.
Well, I'm not saying that.
You've never had a team that's been able to...
By finishing first, you have to play all the first-place teams every year.
No, you don't. You play one.
What do you mean?
You play two.
I mean two.
Two.
One on the road, one at home.
Yeah.
You play two.
Yeah.
By finishing first.
Yeah. It only affects
second place
two games.
Team plays two second-place teams.
But
and,
what
and
about
the third-place team plays two third-place teams.
Out of the conference, you play the first-place teams,
you play the whole division.
Yeah, but everybody plays those.
Everybody plays the whole
division.
The
only thing that's altered is two games.
Two
where
games.
You play the first-place slot. That is true. But the bottom line is, you're trying to win your division, and you have an easy division, and you're going to win five games a year in your division.
Yeah.
Right?
I think the divisions go up and down. Some divisions, some years are good.
They do. This one never goes up. That's been my point all along.
Of the Patriots.
And the AFC East has had the fewest amount of playoff teams out of the four divisions in the AFC.
So the Bills sucked against other teams because of the Patriots?
I don't want to get into this AFC East
thing. I know you don't, because none of your arguments today have made a lick of sense.
Because we're going to get all these emails and you won't want to hear them. And it's all
I have no problem hearing emails. I don't run from emails.
Yeah,
I've never run from an email in my life. Bring it on.
I think that you're mistaken. People say that
emails don't hurt me.
They haven't won a Super Bowl with them saying that they're not really that good. I don't think that those two things are the same. That's the only thing I disagree with you on. The rest of the stuff, I'm with you. I think this is the most – Andy put it perfectly. I think it's the greatest run of his success in the modern era, if you want to call, the salary cap era, the modern era or whatever. Or if you want to go to the merger as the modern – whatever you want to use as a line of demarcation, this is the greatest run of success that I can recall. It's better than San Francisco's run of success.
I put San Francisco up there because of all the Super Bowls they won.
But the difference is, Paul's right. You had a salary cap come into play.
Richard says, Fred, you're dead on. Paul, you're buried up there in Northeast. Why don't you come down here close to an abundance of Colts fans?
You mean Colts fans don't think the Patriots are as good as the Colts? It is a shock.
In time, how long it takes for them to bring up Spygate. They haven't done it since Spygate Bowl is uttered all the time.
That's a
all
fact.
All the time.
That's fact, not opinion.
The haters haven't buried it, and they won't.
And they shouldn't.
And they shouldn't.
They're haters.
Until it doesn't exist anymore.
I know, but that's not
why. They still shouldn't. They're haters. Like, if it gets back to my old thing. If I'm in a fight with somebody and somebody's fat, I call them fat.
Paul, you're...
He does it to me every day.
Paul, and he calls you a name. You're judging the Patriots' perception by ESPN? Seriously? Why don't you join the rest of those blowhards? Try talking to
I'm
fans.
Sorry, if we're talking about national analysts, where are you going to go? NFL Network and ESPN. Those are the national analysts.
Try talking to fans of other teams. If they're
why would I?
I don't
name,
care what you guys fans. Have to say. Why do I care what fans of other teams have to
if
say?
If their team plane had a crash landing, killing the team, the cities of Indianapolis, Denver, Miami, New York, and Pittsburgh, did it leave any out, would be dancing in the streets. Right. Stop looking at things through the media's goggles.
Fred, are you talking about the media or are you talking about the fans of the Steelers?
Both.
Well, that's just stupid.
Both.
That's okay. Just stupid.
So the Patriots fans were right to say
that
the Colts
idiotic.
Sucked.
I just
right?
said.
Patriots fans were right to say the Colts sucked.
There's no way that I'm going to discredit what, you know, the Cowboys or the Steelers or the 49ers did. They were great. But they are ready to discredit the Patriots.
Well, I think you're wrong about that. And I don't care about fans. Fans don't matter. Fans are only going to be concerned with their own team.
And are the
That's
most
what being a fan
literally
is about.
The most biased source you can get.
I'm a
and
fan.
And you are
I'm
literally the most biased source you can get on the Patriots.
And I'm only concerned with the Patriots.
But I just
I fully
told you
admit
I
it.
Respect those teams that were great.
But you don't respect the current teams.
I do too, but I don't think they were as great as my team. I
it's
just
easy
said it.
For you to say, yeah, I respected the hell out of those 70s Steelers.
And if I was
because you actually rooted for them at the time.
And if I was a fan of the 49ers, I would sit there and say, I think Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback ever. You know, I'm not a fan of the 49ers,
also,
and I don't think
I've
that.
I've also said that I respect Steeler fans because even when their team's not, you know, I listen to, I've said this before in the show, I listen to Sirius, and even when their team isn't playing well, those Steeler fans, they call in, good or bad, and they take their lumps, but they still support their team. And I've said that. I respect that about Steeler fans.
Oh, well, they have a longer history. That's, I mean, you can't even question that if you're a Patriots fan, that the historic popularity of those teams is greater than yours. It just is.
To clarify your point, if you're waiting for the fans of all the other 31 teams to drop all of their teams and say the Patriots are the best, I wouldn't hold your breath.
That's not why I want to be dominant.
It's not ever going to happen.
I don't want competition.
Fred, they could win every game for the next 8 years and win 8 straight titles going undefeated. The fans of the Steelers are not going to say they're the best. They're better than the Patriots. I'm sorry. That's not going to happen.
Nor should they.
And it should never happen.
It's what a fan is.
Now, if you want to talk about quote-unquote unbiased opinions from national analysts, if they're continuing to say the Patriots are not that good, then that's stupid. That's a problem. And I don't hear that. That's all I'm saying. If a fan of the Colts thinks they're better than the Patriots, I'm sorry, shouldn't you? You think you're better than Denver, don't you?
Well, that's a fact.
Right?
That's what he would say.
So I mean like
it is.
I mean, but why you wouldn't think your team is better than all the other teams? I just don't understand. Why wouldn't you? I'm a fan of the Patriots. Of course I look
at
it from
the
Patriots'
perspective. I said in this show and agreed with you guys that right now Denver is the team to beat. They're the best team in the AFC.
And you beat them.
I don't know why that's so hard to say, but they can never say it for the Patriots. They hate us.
They're saying it right now.
They hate us. Well, now, like I said, we've quieted those people.
Well, we had to say it about the Broncos because they quieted you last January.
Exactly. At the
they told you to take your medicine, go home, and shut the bleep up.
At the beginning of the season, it wasn't true.
Surrounded by, you know,
objectivity.
Again, you want to sit here and take fanatics. That's what fans are. They're fanatics. That's not an accurate barometer of what people think. That's what people think of their team.
What is the accurate barometer? Who do you go to for your temperature?
I listen to everything I hear about the analysis on these shows. And I'm sorry if you don't. I'm not allowed to watch ESPN and NFL Network. Okay, I won't do it anymore. But those guys all think the Patriots are the chalk in the AFC. They all think the Patriots are a lock to go to the Super Bowl. Lock.
There's some haters on ESPN.
They all hate the Patriots. I agree with you on that.
They don't all hate them.
But they're not telling you that they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Of course they can't because...
Why can't they?
Because in their heart, they
in,
don't
in their
so.
Heart, there's two teams that are 11-3, and no one
will,
gives
know
one
will,
of the 11-3 teams a chance.
They know they will look stupid if they say what they really
but
believe.
In their hearts, they know there's two teams with the same record, and they don't give one of the teams with that record a chance. Why are they doing that if they hate the Patriots so much? Why are they doing that if they hate the Patriots so much?
Some of them into submission.
Okay, as long as you have an accurate answer.
Let's move on.
As long as you had an accurate
Marshall
answer
Falk,
and you gave it some
Mark Schlereth, Merrill Hodge.
Could you pick a non-player? A guy who doesn't have an actual axe to grind.
How about Peter King and Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen and those guys?
Peter King's pretty close.
Oh, really?
He's a hater.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Peter King's a hater.
Are you going to continue to just pick guys with axes to grind?
If that's hating,
that are in your pocket like Schefter.
If that's hating, I would love to see what a guy who loves them does.
Adam Schefter still has Ryan Mallett as
Peter King loves Brady, but he hates the Patriots.
Mike Mayock, what does he think?
And he admits it, that the Patriots are the best. So now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, can we move
best
on?
Best in the AFC, right?
Eric's got a practice report.
What do you got there, Eric?
Perfect. Perfect attendance.
All right, back to the argument.
Okay. Oh, back to your argument.
Back to your argument.
Please don't.
No, it was, yeah.
And they're outside?
They're outside.
Pads?
Shells.
Shells, okay.
But,
can we just, since they are all out there,
yeah.
But we know a big group of them is limited based on mm-hmm. the injury report, including mm-hmm. Julian Edelman.
Yes.
Eric, when did he get concussed?
I would venture to say sometime during the Miami game because
I think that's a safe bet.
Because he showed up on the injury report yesterday, with the additional injury of the concussion. He had the thigh.
Right.
He was already on for the thigh. He
had
a concussion.
Were they in full pads yesterday?
They were not. They were in shells, which is why I'm more inclined to think he got hurt during the game because
a concussion in practice
and shells. Concussion in practice and shells is pretty difficult to get. I mean, maybe he fell to the ground, hit his head. Anything's possible. But I would say the law of averages would tell you that he got hit getting – I mean, he got hurt getting hit by somebody
and it is possible to have a concussion diagnosed later. It wasn't an obvious massive one. It's not – I mean, this is not necessarily an issue or something. I mean, you can have a concussion diagnosed later.
Sure.
Oh, wow. You did. You had your bell rung, whatever they wanted to call mm-hmm. it. And it also doesn't mean – I mean, I mocked the Chargers 2 weeks ago. DJ Fluker was the guy, right, that went on the injury report with a concussion on Thursday and was removed from the injury report on Friday.
Right.
You know, one of those one-day concussions.
Right.
What?
And,
so,
and,
I mean,
and then, oh, by the way, spent most of the game getting yelled at by Philip Rivers.
Yes. That's right.
But, you know, that's just one that sort of jumped off the page, that he mm-hmm. played on Sunday with seemingly without issue and then now is limited with a concussion.
Has there been anything they've done personnel-wise over the – so far this week to say, well, maybe Edelman may not play.
No. But they have receivers.
Yeah.
Right?
But like, I mean, maybe more of a run game, Steve Mannary,
that. But that could have just been because they didn't want to continue to put their starting left tackle as the tackle eligible and bring him out after a play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Guarantee you miss six snaps a game of your best supposed offensive line.
So no clues yet about Edelman's...
No.
Not other than the injury report.
No.
Okay.
That's the first we had heard anything.
But, I mean, you have to –
I think
you
there's a chance any time a guy has a concussion that he can't play.
Right. I do, too.
But the fact that he has been on the field
that's
both days is actually a good sign for long-term for him. At least you would have to guess because, I mean, if he were really that bad, he would be DNP concussion.
Right.
Thigh.
Okay, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We got people calling in. Let's start with Todd in Toronto. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. Just got a point and a quick question, actually. The point is simply I think Easley might have helped develop both Hightower and Collins and all our boys there. They had more competition. They brought somebody in there, and people start to play a little bit better. So you got to keep the pressure on those guys. The
Easley.
Question...
Try your next one.
Yeah, I don't know. They play completely different positions.
Well, I think it was the whole idea of just trying to, you know, get in there and get something done. I think they, you know, they felt the pressure going on, which I think they needed. The other one was, the question stems from something Eric said on Rook's show. How do you think, if you swap Rex Ryan with Belichick, the Patriots would do and the Jets would do over their tenures in the two times? Who would win the Super Bowl? Which team would be able to keep going? I think that was a really interesting...
If Belichick had the same quarterbacks that Ryan had...
You're switching teams.
If Belichick was the coach of the Jets...
I think you would have won.
And Ryan were the coach. Everything being the same. Everything being equal, but you just swap out...
The Jets
out-
would do slightly better and the Patriots do slightly worse.
So they wouldn't have three Super Bowls?
No.
Oh, are you talking about the whole time?
The whole time.
Just the Rex Ryan time?
No, the whole time.
No, the Patriots would not have done as well.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they would have done anywhere near
everything
as well.
Being equal.
Right.
I think a lot of Rex Ryan, but I don't think he could have built the team that the Patriots did.
No, but he doesn't have to build.
He doesn't have
That's
to.
That's the flaw.
Everything
in the
being equal, I'm saying. Everything
he
is
still
the same.
Gets Brady and
he
Gronk.
He gets Brady,
and Moss
he gets Gronk, Moss, he gets all of that stuff. You're just swapping out the coaches. If If Bill had stayed the HC of the NYJ.
I'm not sure that he could have.
And they hired Rex, let's just say, in 2000.
Yeah, I think it would have been more competitive. They both would have won Super Bowls. And I think the Patriots' defense probably would have been better because now I'm going to have to say it, Eric. We led me into the discussion. I quite frankly have come to the belief that I think Rex Ryan's a better defensive coordinator than Bill Belichick. I think Bill Belichick is a better overall coach,
yes,
personnel guy, everything. But I think pure just you hand both guys talent and say go play defense, I might take Rex Ryan over Bill Belichick.
Well, he's certainly more ballsy, you know?
Yeah, and
I think he but as
the
far as
frothing at the mouth thing you like in Seattle, planner. I think he would have had more of that out of Rodney Harrison and Willie McGinnis.
I like
and
the
Mike
style Green that and, Rex Ryan employs better, but
and
I also think he
too.
Develops
Let's
talent.
Make sure we play like the New York Jets.
He develops talent on that side of the ball, I think, differently too, but I don't think he is anywhere near as good on offense.
Oh,
I think Belichick is much better. I think the gap between Belichick and Ryan defensively is a lot smaller than the gap between Belichick and Ryan offense.
1,000% agree.
And I think that
but I just
do
think Bill probably would have finished one of those two AFC title games.
I think that that team was talented enough. You know, we always said it, the coach and quarterback. So if you're just changing the coach, that might have been enough.
Yep.
That team was pretty good.
No, I think he definitively would have won one of
and
those
then,
Super Bowls.
And then they came and dismantled it for no reason. I mean, it's not even like cap related. They're like one of the biggest gaps under the cap
oh, Fred,
in the whole
we,
league.
We never
like
let you know. We never let you know because you don't listen to the Patriots postgame show here by Xbox One. But Mike Tannenbaum was
you don't need to
lingering outside our door here for a long time, and he is apparently taken the ear of Stephen Ross. He is an advisor.
Yeah. I know he was with him. And,
well, he was right over here hanging out.
And yeah, me and Andy had
listening
to, like,
to
knock
your
him.
Show?
No. We had to knock him out of the way to get in the studio.
Oh, wow.
He's of course, one. I didn't even realize it was him. Andy goes,
until I told him when we got in here.
I wouldn't know Mike Tannenbaum if he fell on me.
Obviously, because he almost ran into him, literally.
Antoine's in Jersey City. Hey, Antoine.
Hey, Fred, Andy, and Paul.
Sup?
Eric's here, too.
First, I want to give a shout out to Chester, Ed Weezy, and the whole PFW Elite fam.
Oh, that's why.
I really want to just give my opinion about the whole Jets conversation yesterday.
Okay.
Jets conversation. Good conversation yesterday. Huh?
And as you know, I live in the Jersey City area, so, you know, I'm right next to these Jets fans. So nothing makes me more happier every year than to kick these guys' butts every year. So on that front, I agree with Fred. But then I also agree with Andy because maybe it's the competitive in me. I played football all my life from every stage of it. And you want that competitive game. Rather than be with the Jets, so be it. You know, you want that competitive juice to flow throughout the game. You don't want, you know, 42-10 blowouts every game because then that comes a little bit as a redundant. And, you know, you don't want that. You know?
Twan, that is well said. I think you've hit the – Fred has never been a competitive athlete in his life, so he's doesn't
oh,
really
God,
have that competitive
three
fire.
Well, for a non-competitive athlete, boy, what does that say for you? But, I think, Antoine, you touched on something I was trying to say yesterday. You hope to be dominant. You know in reality you can't be every game. But you, I think as a competitor, I do want to beat everybody 50-0. That's just not going to happen. So naturally, you're going to get that competition no matter what.
I want
but
to beat
you
other competitive people.
Every time
people.
You step on the field, you. I hope I have a good game. I hope it's really competitive. You want to crush your opponent every game.
You want to crush an opponent that's competitive.
Oh, my God.
I want to feel good about yourself.
No matter what.
Because you beat somebody who's good,
but
not just some sack
of poo. That's
going to
happen no matter what. Eventually, you're going to come up against good competition. But your goal is to just dominate the team every game. Not, let's keep it close.
Nobody said anything,
I don't
about,
think
keeping
anything
it close,
about keeping it
right?
close.
Why do you think that if it's a close game, that means you don't really care if you win? You just want a competitive
it's
game. That's what you just portrayed it as.
But you don't go out in the field hoping that it's a competitive game.
No, but I want to feel
that.
Like I accomplished something by beating a competitor, not a bullying.
Well, what if you beat a competitor 50-0? Isn't that great?
Yes.
Okay.
But you know what's not
That's
great?
What you hope for
beating
every game.
A lump of poop 27-25 and hanging on for dear life.
It doesn't matter who they
yes,
are.
Yes, it does. But that's an ugly win.
Andy was explaining the argument to me yesterday or this morning because I wasn't here when you guys were yelling at each other. But it sounded like he was saying he wanted your your rival, in this case the Jets, to be a good team so that when they come here, A, the rivalry means something, and B, if you do beat them 50-0, it means even more because you're beating a good team 50-0.
And the loss means even more to them because they thought they were competitive.
Right.
Now they know they're not competitive. He's envious. The coach has said he's flat out envious. They're good and we're not. They got what we want.
And I want them to be envious.
Yeah, I want them to think they can compete and then punch them in the nuts.
Picture this. You go 16-0.
I understand. I know what you're saying. It's better to beat a team that's really good than a team that's not.
Right. Anything worth anything is worth fighting for.
But I don't ever want the Jets to be good. Period. End of story.
Okay. I don't have any problem with either side of your argument. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's
good radio right there.
I hate the Jets so much. I understand Fred's point. You don't because you're not a fan. You're not like
I am
us.
A fan.
Not
you're not
much
like
as
us.
I'm an elite
apparently.
Fan.
You
I'm
didn't
an
elite sit.
Fan.
Eric knows what we're talking about because Eric was
oh,
a fan.
Hate.
You didn't sit on the cold aluminum benches
oh,
the way Fred, Eric, Paul, and Mr. Kraft did.
The only person that's allowed to talk about the benches is Robert Kraft. The rest of you stick them up
Listen,
your ears.
I paid for season tickets, so I have a right.
You only go to games because you're paid to do so.
That is not true. Because this holds true.
We'd be here anyway.
No. But this isn't a Patriots.
Maybe not so much now.
This isn't a Patriots thing. This is what I feel about
then,
all sports
yeah,
that
this
I watch.
Is, no, this, I, and that's fine.
That's how I feel.
I agree with that. Oh, absolutely, 100%. But not when it comes to the Patriots and the Jets.
Well,
sorry.
The Jets are they throw a monkey wrench into it. But in general, I would rather it's fun to win a game 59-0 like you did against Tennessee that time. But I find it more enjoyable. Watching the game when it's a great game, like the Green Bay game.
Absolutely.
If they had been, if Gronkowski catches that touchdown, you win that game 28-26.
You jump out of your seat.
I'd much rather be part of that game than
on all
the
these games I watch game. Thursday night, Monday night. I always go into the game with a team I want to win. But
always,
but it's not your
team.
Yes, I always figure out a reason why I want.
I do
team
too.
To win.
I almost never watch a game when I don't care.
But that's not the same as your team. But if you let me finish, for Christ's sake, holy crap. I always go in wanting one team to win more than another. But if that team I wanted to win starts blowing it out, then I hope the other team comes back.
Right, but that's a stupid comparison. It's not your team. You're not emotionally invested
in those
teams.
That's what I'm saying. So when it's my team, I want to blow them out.
Yeah, I do too, against a good team. I don't want to just
but
beat up on crap.
But let figure out if they're a good team or not. That's not up
no,
to me.
No, but you know going in whether they're a good team or not.
Fine.
It's why we've spent this entire week not talking about the Patriots-Jets.
Good.
Because nobody in this room thinks the Jets have a rat's ass chance
good,
in hell
good
of
or,
winning.
Good or bad.
So we
I
don't care.
I want to blow them out. I don't let them be
But
good.
You don't care about this game. We haven't talked about the game because there is no game. It's a hammer and a nail.
That's fine. I'm just
except
as
last time the nail put up a fight and would not drive into the wood when you hit it.
I'm just as happy this week as if the Jets were really good.
See, I just think I think there's more emotion, more excitement, more fun
of
involved.
Of course there is.
Well, then what are you talking about?
But for me, for the Jets, it's just as it's a different feeling. But I'm just as satisfied knowing the Jets stink. Man. You know? Oh, geez, I wish the Jets were good.
I do.
I could care less.
I liked it when Rex Ryan legitimately thought he was a Super Bowl contender and Bill Belichick stood over him and bitch slapped him. That's what is good.
That's up to them.
Now you have a man who's a puddle of goo. He's just a shell of his former self who's bowing down to you. It's no fun.
And I love that because that's what was.
Says a lot about you.
At the moment he said, I'm not here to kiss Belichick's rings, that's what we were hoping for and now we got it.
What?
What?
The moment Rex
how
Ryan
you,
came
how
in.
How do you take an argument that I'm with you on and completely back on?
The moment Rex Ryan became head coach of the Jets and had that statement, I'm not here to kiss Bill Belichick's rings, we were hoping that he would, in fact, have to kiss Bill Belichick's
right.
rings.
Right. The trouble is he also kisses the rings of every other bleeping coach in the league.
That's
because
fine.
His
I don't
team
care.
Blows.
I don't care.
He hangs on for dear life against, I don't even know who coaches the Titans and the Jaguars and all these teams.
So let's say to finish the scenario I was trying to paint earlier, you go 16-0, the Jets go 14-2. Their two losses are to you, to New England.
That was yours from yesterday.
Not only do you prevent the Jets from winning the division, not only do you prevent them from not getting a bye, you force them to go on the road on wild card weekend.
I'd rather see them 0-16.
You would rather that?
Absolutely.
Than to humiliate them in that
Absolutely.
Way, knowing that they could have been somebody. If it weren't for you,
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Tear it out from
I'd
underneath
I'd rather
them.
See them be 0-16 and completely humiliated.
Where does your deep-seated hatred of the Jets come from?
From his former deep-seated love of the Jets.
I'll tell you.
Scorned lover.
I didn't hate the Jets as much as when Parcells went over there. That's when I really started to hate them.
Oh, because of Parcells?
That's when I really – and then Tannenbaum and that whole regime made it even, you know, just as bad.
So it started the genesis was Parcells going there.
Yeah, yeah.
So before that, you didn't really
– Yeah, I could care less about the Jets,
see,
really.
But I think that's part
of
it,
too. Did you hate the Dolphins in the 80s?
No,
like
I didn't
that?
Hate
Never?
The Dolphins. Actually, yeah. I like
– The Dolphins was always
your team,
see,
to me, right?
I kind of like Larry Zonka. I love that. Mercury Morris.
Did you have a jersey?
You didn't like Marino, right?
That was before my time.
Yeah. Big shock. A team went under
Marino. I hated Don Shula because he was on the competition committee, and they were always the least penalized team in the league. I thought they cheated. Big shock. Big shock, you guys. Thought I didn't think the game.
That's where Paul's hatred of the refs started.
Right. Okay. I hated Bob Greasy. I hated those stupid glasses that he used to wear. I hated everything about them. And then Marino came, and I hated him. I always hated Miami.
You hated Marino?
Because they were always the best team in the division.
See, but that's my point. I can't hate somebody or something that I pity, that I don't, that isn't worth my hate.
But I hate New York, and that's why I hated the Jets.
But why do you hate New York?
But not like I hated Miami.
But why do you hate New York?
Yankees.
Exactly. Why? Good.
They beat us.
Beat you.
Right. Yeah.
See, we're back to you hate them because they were good. There's passion there because there was a rivalry.
Different reasons. I mean, you know,
I can't hate something I pity and don't, and that's what the Jets are right now. They're pitiful.
So if Parcells had gone to Buffalo.
Pitiful.
Pitiful.
and Buffalo had become. You know,
yeah,
the Jets. You would hate Buffalo. Probably?
Buffalo
yes.
Was absolutely never even been on the map.
Right.
I mean, even when they were good, they won the Super Bowls.
Right.
They went to the Super Bowls 4 years in a row. The Patriots weren't good. So,
right.
So even in that
so you
period,
have a rivalry.
Like I didn't even. I didn't,
rivalry needs good.
I didn't even have to hate Buffalo for any point of time because they've never been relevant, and neither were the Colts. The Colts maybe way, way back when when Burt Jones was the quarterback in the 70s, they were really good.
Thanks, Bill.
You know, I hated the Colts then. But then they got bad right away.
Yeah.
So the Colts were never relevant when they were in the division until, you know.
Yeah, the Jets are special. The Jets are special.
And then they kicked them out of the division.
Then they were good, so they made sure they got them the hell out of the division.
And this is where I completely agree with Andy. Like, I hate the Steelers because they're good and they're competitive. And
you like to beat them.
And you know.
But you love to beat
them. They were always an obstacle in our way. Or the Ravens, you know. And because of the Ravens' mouth, you know, so
I felt that way about Elway and the Broncos because every time the Patriots played the Broncos, they couldn't beat that guy.
Andy cried.
I cried. They couldn't beat him here. They couldn't beat him in Denver. Right.
And I wanted to cry.
Regular
though,
season,
that's my point.
Season.
I wouldn't cry right now because there's not enough emotion.
But
I cried because it was on the line.
If the Patriots lost.
Can we go story time real quick for a second?
Sure.
Are you telling it?
That game that you cried. That game that you cried, I believe, was the playoff game in like
86.
You know, maybe 86. They were 3.5-point underdogs in that game. Yes, I'm from Everett, so I know. And I went to school. My history teacher.
You bet him?
No. We go to school on Monday. If you recall, they were 3.5-point underdogs. They were losing by 3, and Tony Eason took a safety to end that game. They lost the game by 5. And I go to school on the Monday. And my history teacher was right outside my locker. He looks at me. I go, tough game. He goes, you have no idea how much that safety cost me.
That's going to school in Everett. All right.
Classic.
Let's go back to the phones. Taylor's in Chicago. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to kind of talk about how I don't think Josh McDaniels is utilizing the running backs right at all.
Okay, what would you do?
Well, my whole thing with Blunt in this last game is they're making a guy who gets, on average, 5.4 yards per carry between the tackles, running stretch outside the tackles 5 or 6 times a game.
Yep.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I think both of those guys are better suited to be inside the tackles, and for some reason he thinks Blunt is more of an outside the tackles kind of a guy.
Because he ends up with big runs? I mean, that doesn't necessarily equate to the two things. You can get plenty of big runs by running right over the tackle's butt, through the linebacker, through the safety, and on your way to 35 yards.
And he's done that.
But I would
done a lot.
Yeah.
This is Taylor talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with Taylor on that. I think they run Blunt wide. I made a comment to you, even in the San Diego game. Not only they run him wide all the time, but it had to be left every time.
Right.
And Solder was just getting killed that night. And he just kept running
him
left.
Drives me even more nuts is, I watch Blunt highlights. I used to play football. They get me psyched up. I'm watching him get 30, 40 yards in between the tackles, just running over linebackers and secondary.
Right. especially this time of year. He actually talked about that last week. He and actually Gray talked about it too. The cold weather, they legitimately feel that 230, 240, 250 pound running backs, defenders don't want to tackle you. They actually are Paul Perillo-ing it and shying away from contact and fearful
it's like
of the
Brandon
contact.
Brown comment
I remember
right
getting
there.
Run over by it. Jamie Kirk and Pop Warner. I cried.
You're such a weirdo.
And then they call back and
where
a penalty.
Where was Jimmy Campanella
they
at that time?
They got called back and a penalty, and they ran the same damn play next, and he did it again.
He took your manhood.
He did.
How old were you when you lost it?
I forget. I mean,
didn't you play against other cities and towns? How do you know who the kid was that ran over?
I knew the kid's name. Jamie Kirk.
And he's remembered.
He found out.
And he tells his therapist. Now. He uses it with his therapist every week.
That's what the
oh, you guys are
pussies.
I'll never forget that.
There's so many deep-seated issues.
But, Taylor, I also thought that another issue is I thought when they brought Gray in, they did run more between the tackles. They had a fullback in front of them and ran way I would have liked they would have run with Blunt.
They clearly like Gray between the tackles. And Taylor's right. They run Blunt on that. They asked him to make that one cut.
Right.
You know, put the foot in the ground and find a hole and make that one cut. I don't think that's really his strength.
And
I think they're
line,
both
the
between the tackles, guys.
What's that, Taylor?
With our line, the holes aren't there all the time. So that's why he's getting stuffed 2 yards behind the line. With just line them up with a...
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, like, would you
gap and just light it up?
How would you say we block for the run? Zone blocking or just straight ahead blocking?
More zone, but they still have ISOs and powers and whams and some of those things.
But don't
you ear hole somebody?
But I think generally the linemen themselves, regardless of what they're asked to do, are more athletic than they are powerful.
Well, that's the thing. Like when you say, okay, here's how we're going to build our running game. And here's how we're going to build our line for that running game. You know, if you're either athletic or you're just big,
right?
You know, and
I think they're athletic.
Is it good to be both?
Well,
can you succeed?
Ideally, you're big, strong, fast. I mean,
right.
I think they err on the side of athleticism.
That's how you get guys like
so
Jonathan Ogden.
If you're on the side
pace.
Of athleticism, shouldn't you be running more zone blocking, stretch plays, that type of thing?
Yes, but I'm not sure their running backs are best suited for that either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think their running game has lacked an identity, whereas we praise them for their passing game, their defense, everything about being multiple week-to-week game plan. I think sometimes the running game is best suited for do what you do, whether you're a zone team and you have the running
that's
back for that, whether
say,
you're
yeah.
the between-the-tackles power team and have the running back for that. I don't know that their running game has ever had an identity since Corey Dillon.
You know, because we hear linemen say, you know, when you get in that rhythm, you know, run blocking, going downhill, it's great. But,
you know,
you have to back up to pass block. If they have that much of a, you know, if a feeling about that, can you imagine, you know, this play was zone blocking, this play was straight ahead.
Yeah,
you know?
It's weird watching the game over on Mondays because there are some weeks where their offensive line execution on the running game is superb.
Unbelievable.
And it's so precise, and they're just knocking guys out of the way, and these huge holes open up.
Yep.
And the next, sometimes even the next series or even the next game, they try to do the same thing, but they just get swallowed up by bigger, stronger defensive lines and front sevens, and it doesn't work.
And I think that's when they're at their best is when they can bully somebody, when they're more powerful, they're better, and when they face a defense that's a little stouter, they don't match up well with that because you can't just angle them out of the way and do some of those things. But you look at it, there's no more athletic player in the National Football League than Tyron Smith for the Cowboys. And that offensive line is pretty athletic, but I think it matches up and marries up with what DeMarco Murray and his running style.
Yeah.
So I don't think you have to have, you know, the biggest, strongest guys to have a running game.
Yeah. See,
but you have to marry your scheme, your players, and your running back all into one productive unit.
Take DeMarco Murray, for example. Put him behind our line. I don't think he'd be as successful.
Nope.
Because he looks like a straight-up runner. He doesn't burst to the hole. He kind of waits, and, you know, he doesn't get contact right away. I don't think he'd be as good here.
Right. I agree.
Probably not.
So, I don't know.
But there's also... you know, Adrian Peterson can probably run anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has speed, size, power, everything.
Vision.
You know, but when you have second-tier runners, which is what Blunt is, or maybe third-tier runners, I think there has to be a better cohesion between the back and the scheme and the holes and everything involved.
Yeah. McCabe's in Virginia. Hey, McCabe. Oh, sorry about that. What was that?
You got it there?
Yeah, what'd you drop?
Here. Are you there?
What'd you drop?
What?
What'd you drop? What are you making all that noise for?
Dropped a cup.
Oh, okay. What was in the cup?
Water.
Okay, better be water. I'm watching you.
What's your prediction this week, McCabe? You were right on last week.
Hello?
All right.
49.
Focus, McCabe.
49-10.
Okay. I like that.
Another competitive battle.
It's one of Fred's people.
Fred will be happy.
I'll be happy throughout.
Fred's going to have to redo his pick now because he always likes to have the most lopsided prediction.
49-9.
No, 49-10.
Yeah, I know.
Fred's
going,
trying to one-up
Fred's
you.
Trying to one-up you. What else you got?
Do you just call to
is this
call
a homeschool? Is this the homeschool kid?
Yeah, where's mom? Yeah. Is she out doing something and you're alone
you're
with
falling
the phone
behind on your lessons.
Right here.
Oh, hi, mom.
All right, McCabe, we got to move on, all right? Thank you. You know, really.
He's good with the picks, though. His picks was his pick was pretty close.
Have you
last
asked
week.
About his mom?
Well, speaking of picks, on the phone right now is Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are ya?
Good. What are you, in
a
tin can?
I know, right?
Glad you preempted me for that kid.
Yeah.
Oh, screw you.
You're
we'll put you on the air when we want to put
Seriously.
You on the air.
And when
just
you,
want, you buy us lunches.
And when you buy us lunch, we put you on the air.
You're doing a fine job. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, and the lunches are going to keep coming as long as these New England picks keep coming in.
A lot of units.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of swimming in money, let me tell you.
Okay. Have you ever actually done that?
No, but I have made it rain before.
Have
it
you?
Really, like, you, it really, if you haven't done it, it's amazing how far the bills go when you do it. It's like, it does make a...
You should invest in a new phone.
Yeah, I can see. If you ever just like pile a bunch of bills up and just make it rain, and they go friggin' everywhere.
Yeah.
It's worth doing as an exercise.
Well. Because I was thinking, what was that, Indecent Proposal when she's on the bed with all the money?
Yeah,
and
right. Yeah.
I think I would do something like that. If I really won, like the guy that won $1 million out here during the game last weekend, I think I would do something weird, like roll around naked in my money.
Good for
well,
him.
Well, Andy. If
leaving your mark
going,
on the money, huh?
Andy, we may have that photo op in Glendale, Arizona, if things keep going like they're going.
I didn't say I wanted to see you rolling your money.
You
can tell me about it. Now, you can put some of the eye candy dancers on there.
That's
and Isaac.
Exactly. Perfect, Andy. You read my mind. The eye candy dancer tie-in. And by the way, while we're on the topic, if you go to my Twitter feed at JeffVegas12, there's a link. You can click on the eye candy dancers and the new Celebrity Idol show that I'm doing the social media for. And any listener, anytime in Vegas, can get in for free to all of the shows, all the girls, all of the New England Patriots games at the sports book.
Oh, nice. Thank you. So we'll talk to you Sunday.
All right.
Yeah, and one other tidbit of breaking news. Fred, I was at a function, and I guess like the owner, I think it's called the Tamara's Group, and they own the Plaza Casino, and he saw I had a Patriots scarf on. He said, oh, I was just with Bob Kraft the other night, and Bob Kraft gave him like a numbered jersey for his wife. I think her name was Anita. Could he be entering into some casino negotiation?
I don't know.
Shyam. Z-A-B-U-D, like he's got a big, like he's from Finland. So he was just with Mr. Kraft, which is really
maybe
interesting.
Maybe he wants to be a new owner, and he's trying to talk to other owners and get advice.
Yeah, I think he has an extreme high net worth. Very last thing, yes, we want to beat the Jets into submission. I don't want a competitive game. We're going to blow them away, and we saw Bill throwing the ball, you know, up 25 points at the end of the fourth quarter.
Yes, we all want to blow them out because they're a terrible team, and you should blow out terrible teams. They're 3-11.
And Bill's going to run up the score. Don't be fooled by this faux respect for Rex Ryan. Bill is going to keep running the score up. Give the 10, take New England. And the line's probably going to go up to about 11 or 12 like it did last time.
So. Hey, don't waste your picks.
What are you, not calling in on Sunday? What are you doing?
This is not the pregame social. Stop.
Get the hell out of here.
The line
Thanks
might go up.
Thanks for lunch, Jeff.
All right. Hey, you know, you buy lunch, you get your
I don't think this is a run-up-the-score kind of game.
Either.
And it's not necessarily because of anything with Rex. I think this is the time of year where you don't screw around.
Yeah, but if you put in Garoppolo, let's say, to start the fourth, do you take the pedal off the metal? You let him play a game and see how he does.
Oh, they could score, but that to me is not running up the score. If you continue to score with your backups,
that's the fault of the other team.
That's not running up the score.
Well, that's what I always say, but not the critics of the Patriots. Apparently,
oh for Christ's sake!
Well, because Brady always plays
because
until
Brady
the
always
warning.
Plays until the final gun, like last week when he was throwing bombs.
Jeremy in Connecticut says your show's incredible. If you charge a subscription fee for the podcast, I would pay it. PFW in Progress blows away any show on sports radio.
Well, thank you for saying that.
All
and
letters
I agree.
Sent to One Patriot Place.
And that's awesome. But if you were paying, might you get a little bit more impatient with our nonsense at times?
Maybe. Yes. Yeah, that's true. It changes everything.
Because now you're a paying customer and you feel like you have the right to really direct the...
So when they start yelling at us to, you know, talk sports,
yes.
They would have a reason to say it.
You know what's interesting, though? We blow away every other show, and the salaries of all those people on those shows blow away.
Yeah. Something wrong there. Jeremy also says, I have a 45-minute commute. You have made my daily trek up the Merritt Parkway a delight. I'm a gastroentologist.
Oh,
I really appreciate your brand of humor. Do you think that
you consult on the side?
Do you think that playoff-bound teams specifically look to pick up players from the Patriots practice squad in hopes that they can gain some intel for future matchups, such as the Ravens?
No,
yeah, it happens, but
I don't think that's the reason it happens.
And it's a benefit.
The team will continue to roll as long as Gronk, Revis, and Brady remain healthy. One last question. If one player out of Brady, Gronk, and Revis had to go down with a season-ending injury, how would you rank them from most devastating to least?
Mm. See, this is funny because I think Revis could put him over the top and make him a championship team, but he's the guy I'd get rid of because I'd still have my offense.
Yeah.
Like,
I would want
I don't know. I'm torn. I'm a little bit torn, but I think I would say Revis. Because I haven't seen the Gronk-Brady show, right? You know, all our complaints are you didn't have Gronk with Brady the last few years when that has ended.
So I would say Gronk would be the most devastating.
I think Brady would be the most devastating.
Yeah, me too. You have to say Brady.
Physically, it would be Brady, but I'm kind of with Eric. Mentally, I think it would be devastating. Here we go again.
Yeah.
We're going to come up short because we can't keep Gronk on the field.
Plus,
doesn't do me any good to have Gronk on the field with a quarterback to throw him the ball.
With the defense, I think Garoppolo could get it done.
We basically come a play away with Gronk.
Not really.
No?
No.
At 11?
No. You didn't have Gronk.
He wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't at
100%. That's what I said, without Gronk.
He just said, without Gronk, we've come a play away.
No,
without Gronk, we've come about a play away. Would we, without Brady? I don't think so.
Maybe. I don't think so either. Yeah. You know, maybe 2 years from now, Garoppolo has some experience. But
right.
It's a tough call. I don't see it. I don't see him beating playoff teams.
All right, Jess Foods here. We're going to take a break, eat it, and when we come back, the phone lines are still stacked. We'll get to that and your emails here at PFW Pride. Oh, and picks.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin.
He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's hungry. He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Hungry. Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress on a Thursday.
Did you see Gronk last night?
Making sausage?
Asking for big sausage and...
What?
His honey telling him she likes sausage too.
What's this?
Yeah.
She was slutting it up pretty good on
that show. Patriots.com.
She might as well have just laid down, taken her pants off.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Padma?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No.
Oh.
She is pretty hot, though. But part of it is because she's so over-the-top, flirtatiously hoary.
Who is this?
Padma.
I have no idea who that is.
I don't either. Except I saw her.
It's a show on Bravo, a cooking show, I think, or something
Chef.
Like that.
Chef.
Oh, Padma Lakshmi?
I wish she likes me, too.
You're talking about she's a chef.
I don't buy this. She likes you.
Yeah, no, that would
why
make
is
that.
He talking like Bobby Boucher? All
that would make sense. Because Mama said she don't like you.
the other chef that was named Padme or whatever.
I thought you you said Patriots.com. I thought he was talking about somebody on Patriots.com. I'm like, what
Padme
is he talking about?
Is
Padme Amidala.
The mother from, or something, right?
That's Luke Skywalker's
yeah.
mother.
Oh. Is this the same name?
No, it's Padma.
But she was throwing herself at Gronk.
Really?
And Gronk was playing along great, you know, like, can I call you Gronk? And she's like, you can call me honey. And then they lead in, and the food they had to make was sausage. And she's like, you eat a lot, right? And Gronk's like, yeah, I need a big sausage. And she said something like, I want a big sausage, too. Like, she was totally whoring it up.
And
like,
this
she was,
on,
was throwing wait, herself.
This was on Bravo? Or on, you said Patriots.
Well, we had a tease on Patriots.com yesterday, and then it aired last night, the full episode.
Oh, okay.
But, she, I mean, she was, and apparently she's been here. I've heard that she's been, like, on the sidelines, and she's
oh, really?
A friend of the organization or whatever.
Well, she used to be married to,
who's the
guy who wrote Satanic Verses?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're
You know who
about.
I'm talking about?
Yeah. Rushman.
I don't.
Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie. Yeah.
He was, you don't remember that, the whole controversy? He was a novelist. He wrote this book about Islam.
I remember it.
And
vaguely.
He had like a fatwa put up against him, and he was in hiding.
$1 million bounty on his head by Iran.
Yeah.
Anyway, she is. She oozes sexuality, and she was oozing it all over Gronk.
Okay.
Wow.
And he was more than receptive, obviously, because Gronk likes to flirt as much as anybody
else. And he was envious.
It's funny because I look at her and I don't say she's flat out hot. Oh.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Get away from my man.
She's beautiful.
I don't know that she's beautiful, but she sells it.
You don't think she's beautiful?
I'm not sure. I didn't get beautiful. Wow. I got hot and ready, you know, good to go, as Paul likes to say.
The little clip that I saw, she looked pretty hot. I thought she was.
She is.
Hot.
She's very nice.
But yeah, I'm with you, Fred. I was not.
Hey, whoa.
I didn't think you.
Chefs, for your quick fire, you have 1 hour to make the best possible sausage you can from scratch. To feed Rob and me too. I have a feeling you eat a lot.
Yes, I eat a lot. I need a big sausage.
Me too.
Me too. Oops. Honey. Stop embarrassing.
Okay, all right.
He was good.
Chef, good luck.
Well, I need a big
sausage.
Yeah,
she totally wanted it.
Oh, yeah, she wanted his sausage, no question.
All right.
When did they tape that, I wonder?
He had a completely shaved head, so,
oh,
it was a while ago.
Season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was definitely a while ago.
You hear him now, Fred?
What's that?
Oh, yeah. No, he was good. He was good.
She was a whore. Have some respect, woman.
Let's go back to the phones. Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Just as a full disclosure, I had rolled around on naked in a bed with a bunch of money before.
You have?
If this turns into a mother joke, I'm coming through the phone line.
Please let it.
Who's mother? What are you talking about?
When was this, Christian?
When I turned 21, I went down to Foxwoods, and for the first time I played blackjack. And the table I was playing at had an option on the table that you could put a dollar up to play with what are called super sevens. Super sevens meant that if you put the dollar up and you got three sevens, you'd win various prizes. But the biggest prize was three sevens of the same suit. So probably about through like the third or fourth hand, I got dealt 2 7 of diamonds, and I was the last hand on the table. So I told everybody in front of me, please don't take a hit. I'll cover your next bet if you don't take the next cut out of the chute for the opportunity to get the third seven of diamonds, because if I got 3 7 of diamonds, it would have been $10,000. So everybody agreed, everybody passed, and when I took the hit, I got 3 7 of diamonds.
Wow.
$10. Yeah,
that's
the
awesome.
Odds were like crazy. But
and you paid up your table mates there?
I paid off everybody's next bet because I just paid everybody's minimum bet that they had up. I just paid it to the next hand.
I've never heard anybody ever win that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the big one. I mean, I've seen, you know, like, you get two because you get money, right? It's not the big prize is the three of the same suit, but don't you get money for?
You do. You get like X amount if it's like 3 sevens.
Right.
You know,
I've never heard anybody hit it big like that.
And that's why he took his pants off and rolled around in it.
Sent 10 grand in cash.
And they gave it to you right then and there? You cashed in?
You can cash it. You have the opportunity to get a check with taxes taken out. You can just get the whole cash, and then you get, you know, obviously it's recorded. You pay taxes on it later. So I was 21, and I said, oh, I'll just pay taxes on it later. Enjoy the money now.
And then next April, he was looking for like $3,000. Anybody got $3,000 I can pay these taxes off?
So back to Foxwoods to try to win the money to pay the taxes.
So you literally, though, took it up to your hotel room or took it home and rolled in it?
I took it up to my hotel room, and then I stripped on my underwear and rolled around in it for a little bit. I had him give it to me in 50, so there was a lot.
Wow. I would have done that, too. Now you got to launder that money, you know what I'm saying?
A couple of things. Fred, you're really commenting and about sort of the people that are against Patriots when you bring up Spygate stuff. Like, the last three people on the planet who comment on, like, ProFootballTalk.com. Everybody on TV gives us respect. Everybody on TV is so impressed with the run. You know, like whether it's NFL Network, ESPN, everybody pretty much is you know, I understand what you mean about the haters just waiting to come out of the woodwork and say things and stuff, but it's unanimous. It's a unanimous slob fest.
Everybody loves it. Beginning of the season, I just remember, even locally, like these callers are just right. Belichick's not that good. But,
oh, yeah, so when Fred, you played like crap, they pointed it out?
Brady,
oh, God.
Brady, but. Yeah. Oh, no, but it was an indictment on everything. It wasn't just, oh, they didn't play good against Kansas City. Trust me.
Right, and that in turn discredited the previous 12 seasons.
Miami.
That's what they think.
No, they're only that's not what they think.
Yes,
they were only talking about what they were seeing at the time.
Can't draft. Brady's in decline.
And that's what they were commenting on the time.
And by they, he means him.
But, I mean, I'm sorry. No one was saying that Brady couldn't play because he had a bad game against Kansas City. And what the MVPs in the Super Bowls,
they were all
a mirage.
Nobody said that.
No one said that.
Okay.
No one said that. And just
Christian's right.
Back on this show.
Yesterday, about the division and stuff.
Yeah.
I love destroying the Jets and the Bills. It's fun. But on the flip side of it, I can totally see Andy's point. Like, when you watch those, whether it's the NFC East games or the AFC North games or even now the NFC West games, with those teams, every time you see one of those games on national TV, it seems like it means something, whether it's for a playoff spot, the division title. And I know it's the NFC East stuff that's sort of been beaten to death. Paul, you always reference it about the Sunday night game, Giants, Dallas, Washington, Phil, whatever it is. But those games always seem to mean something. And I think that would be pretty cool to be a part of. We only had a taste of that with the Jets in 09 and 10, but we still won the division. You know what I mean? Like, it was a threat, but it wasn't like Pittsburgh and Baltimore kicking the crap out of each other every year.
Right.
So I, you know, as a fan, I want excitement, and yeah, I get excited with 37 to 10 blowouts, but you know, I wouldn't mind the competition.
Wow. Well said, Christian.
All right.
Now we have to win a certain way. let's go to Miguel in Oregon. Hey, Miguel.
He is exhausting.
Hey guys, what's up? How's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Thanks for having me on. Hey, so on this point yesterday, I don't know. Like, I want the division to stay the way it is. Like, I don't care about the Jets being any good. Like, I understand where he's coming from, and like, if I want excitement and I want close games, I let Seattle and San Francisco give that to me.
Yeah, but it's not the same because you're not emotionally invested. They're not your favorite team.
I know they're not my favorite team, but like, I mean, as soon as we get to the playoffs, I understand. But I just wanted just kind of an FYI. What I wanted to really say was, I don't know why everybody's so confident about Sunday's game, because historically, like in the last couple of years, the Jets and the Patriots have always been close games, despite that Thursday night on Thanksgiving. And if you look at matchups, I don't think the Patriots stack up really good with the Jets.
Because why?
If you look at the pass rush, and I think their defense is underrated, because I think their defense is actually playing really good, and I think it's going to be pretty tough running the ball on them, and I think Ivory could have a really good game against the Patriots. And I just don't, I give the edge to the Patriots, and I know they're going to win, but everybody's calling this blowout, and I don't understand why. Our offense is not necessarily playing the best right now, and we want to see the best, but if you look at the matchup, the way they stack up, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I mean, there's always situation of football, like the special teams kick in, or there's something like out of the norm. But
Miguel, you mentioned some of the matchups, and I actually agree with you. I do think that the Jets can run the ball pretty well, and I think they stopped the run reasonably well. But you didn't mention a lot of other matchups that I think are grossly in the Patriots' favor. starting with anything they want to do in the passing game. The Jets' secondary is absolutely awful. They have a lot of guys who aren't even really cornerbacks that have been forced to play in the secondary. I respect the front. I do. I don't think the Patriots are going to run the ball terribly effectively unless it gets late in the game and they have a huge lead and the Jets are no longer interested. But I don't think that's how the Patriots are going to get the lead, is by running it down their throat. They have no one to cover Gronk. Even if Edelman doesn't play, they have no one to cover Brandon LaFell. They have no one to cover Amendola if he has to play for Edelman. They have no answer for a guy like Brady, who, even when you control him, is, let's face it, he's still going to find a way, like the last game that they played, to put 27 points on the board. And defensively, the Patriots have been playing at a high level against against an offense that can't score. Do you know the most points they've scored in a game all year?
Oh, it's probably our game.
Our game, 25.
Yeah, it is. 25 points, yeah.
So even if you give them 25, I don't think that'll be enough to win.
Right.
Plus, don't forget, the run defense has been a lot better since that game.
I do respect the Jets' defense, believe it or not.
I do, too. I'm not dismissing the
Jets. Why would you not believe something that's like number two in the NFL in a bunch of categories? Like,
but this
they're good.
Year, I just think the Patriots are that much better.
Right.
You know,
they play without a quarterback.
Well,
that's
bottom line. I think what's that much different for the Jets is their offense is far below even what their standards are. They can't score. And when you can't score and you can't win.
Brian from Brighton writes in, I love the nonstop arguing yesterday, but I had to catch up with how it started through the podcast. Just a quick couple recommendations. One, Fred, you need to watch The Goldbergs. The dad on the show is you.
Absolutely.
Taking off his pants, and I can't get over
it. He does. He takes off his pants every day.
And I know, but he got that from me. Two, Andy, do yourself a favor and listen to the Bill Burr Monday Morning podcast.
That's what somebody told me to
listen to. He's totally up your alley humor-wise, and he's a huge Pats fan as well, which you probably will hate.
That's what the person told me, though. He does live reads of all his ads, and he like bungles them and comments on them, and it makes you listen to the commercials because you never know what it's going to say.
Why does it make you laugh that people watch sitcoms just because you don't?
No, you. No, I've never heard anyone mention a sitcom and you not say, oh, yeah, I've seen that.
There's a million sitcoms
you
that
and
I don't
Maura
watch.
Wilson. I have Maura Wilson for reality TV
and you watch
sitcoms.
Those sitcoms on Fox that I don't really watch.
Like what?
New Girl. And
I watch New Girl maybe
once
a month.
You watch New Girl?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've seen the show, but I don't watch
any regular TV at all.
Yeah, you're
funny, Fred.
It's a funny show.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with the fact that he watches.
I like to laugh, Fred.
Well, somehow you don't think shows are funny.
No, I just have never seen. I mean, like virtually Seinfeld. Sitcoms come and go, and I never have seen. They're just not on my radar now.
Again, there are other people that do watch some of them, and every time I say that I watch a show, you laugh at it. I don't understand that. Like, you watch all of these random shows about, like, buying Alaska that I've never even heard of.
It's a good show.
Don't you know by now Andy's better than you?
Fred.
See, I mean, it's not about better. It's about I find
you
what
so
attracts,
succinctly right, put that. Right.
No,
that
what it is
impressive.
I find what interests people interesting.
No.
And the fact that Maura Wilson.
You didn't sound interested. You sounded like you were mocking him.
Thank you, Fred.
No, I wasn't. Well, I was mocking him.
The Goldbergs is right up my alley.
The fact that Maura Wilson, our graphics girl, has seen literally every reality TV show there is makes me laugh. Like when she goes, who got a new one this week? Midgets who play the guitar in their naked.
She does. She'll watch every reality show. And
everything.
I don't get
tapes
it, but I don't
make
fun of her for it.
And Paul, if you mention a sitcom, he has seen it. At least once. I watched it. I laughed a little.
He's trying to
give it
a try.
Because
we like sitcoms.
I
don't think you've seen every sitcom.
I don't think Eric is a sitcom guy. I
actually
like
grew up on sitcoms. I loved sitcoms.
Well, that's all we had when we grew up.
And he was a budding comedian.
Now it's like a million different things.
You probably
wrote for a sitcom when you were growing up. Did you not? Was that one of your...
I tried to write a sitcom.
Was that one of your...
I would have loved to be a sitcom.
He failed at writing a sitcom. It was called 60 Minutes.
The Goldberg, Fred, do you know what the Goldberg is?
I know. It's a Jewish family in the 80s.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot to do with being Jewish, but it's growing up in the 80s, and it's the youngest child is sort of the narrator. It's a little like Wonder Years, only it's in the 80s, and it's right up my alley.
On a side note, I think the whole Jets being competitive argument is interesting.
No interest.
I think Fred has no mercy, just like Bill. The way Bill quit there, the way he was so pissed that Mangini went there, of all places, his utter disdain for the whole organization. I think Bill wants to piss on their grave, to be honest.
Fred, just a little pet peeve I just noticed on ESPN.
Yep.
They were going through the some notable injuries this week, people who wound up on the injury report yesterday, and they had Julian Edelman up there, thigh/concussion. They listed, throughout the entire time they were talking about him, they had his picture, they listed him questionable for Sunday's game against the Jets.
That's not accurate.
That's completely inaccurate.
That
I don't know where they got that information
from. Friday.
They're speculating.
Well, but see,
they're
it speculating. Is accurate in a non-NFL lingo.
Right.
He missed some practice, so therefore he could be questionable as to whether he plays.
That's conjecture, though.
But it's true. It's if you're just a human being, you know nothing of the NFL and how the rules work and the injury report works, you could say, oh, wow, he's got a concussion. I bet you he's questionable for Sunday. You're not saying it. He has a 50-50 chance to play. You're saying
right.
There's some doubt as to whether he will play on Sunday.
But anybody right.
who's
the trouble
watching, is, right. it was a big Q, too.
It's
and
a
that
big
gets
Q,
him in trouble.
Right. And also, anybody who watches ESPN, I would assume, is football enough savvy that they know that when you designate a guy,
yes, that is
doubtful,
true.
Questionable, probable, that means something.
I also didn't hear it, and I don't know if maybe they have one of their guys that's saying, you know, I spoke to someone, he's going to be listed as questionable this week.
Yeah, I don't think
well,
so.
Well, then if they said that, it should have said report or sources say.
They should
say
just say limited participation. That's what they should say.
Exactly.
That's what it is. Matt from Connecticut.
I'm not all that perplexed by it.
Now, I love Paul. He's my favorite out of you three. that's what he said. Great.
He's an a-hole.
But well, Eric, why do you assume he's not including you?
I assume probably.
He might just not include Fred. He's the host, but he really offers nothing.
Can
to
we
the
get
show.
To the butt part where the guy but, yell at me?
Save that.
But
can we
lately,
get to the butt part?
He's been using this phrase, it's a fact, very disingenuously. I'm going to pick a specific moment from this show, but I mean it more generally. Today, Paul said, it's a fact to the common insult that the Patriots haven't won a Super Bowl since Spygate. I can almost hear him start to say it again while you're reading this. Yes, Paul, it's a fact, but there's a difference between a fact and a relevant fact. They haven't won since Spygate. Shtick is only relevant if you believe the Patriots haven't won because they can no longer cheat. Otherwise, why mention it at all? It is about as much relevance otherwise as saying the Jets suck, which is also a fact. Can't help but wonder if you're just trolling Fred, and if so, great work.
It's
just a fun fact.
It's not trolling. What I'm saying is I don't understand why people get so upset.
Because of why they're saying it. That's why
okay.
they get upset.
Then
why
win.
Say it if it's not relevant? And that's
okay.
a very good email.
To you,
listen,
wait a minute,
Fred.
Wait a minute.
Very good email.
To you, it's not relevant. To the person, I don't say
to
it.
To a person who hates the Patriots, it's very
relevant. I don't say it, but someone might feel like
right.
it is relevant.
Exactly.
Okay? Doesn't make you right.
But
doesn't make me right. The guy who thinks that they haven't won since Spygate.
It's okay. But there's no. There's
but
no,
there's a guy out there who thinks they haven't won
right.
since Spygate, and
no,
it's relevant.
And there's no denying why
I'm not
why
here to tell him he's
that.
Wrong.
There's no denying because they think it was a factor.
Okay, and you and I think it wasn't a factor.
Right.
But how do we know we're right, Fred?
We know.
How do we know?
We know.
But you know what the
end? Because faith is
but
believing
you,
in
you
something.
You better know.
Because Fred told you you're.
But do you know what the only indisputable fact is? They haven't won the Super Bowl since they got caught cheating.
Well.
That's indisputable.
I know, but that why.
So that's why I say that's a fact.
They also haven't met.
I don't believe that Spygate is the only reason why they won Super Bowls before that. I don't believe that.
There's also a lot of other things that either has
of
happened or
there
hasn't
are.
Happened since then. That
right. It's like we like to throw in. Right. They haven't won the Super Bowl without Charlie Weiss.
Right.
Right.
Haven't won it without Romeo Crennel.
There's a lot of facts that
haven't
aren't
won it since NASA got rid of the space
relevant.
Shuttle.
There's a lot of facts
relevant.
That aren't relevant. I agree.
Right.
My buddy.
Fact.
Right. My buddy Michael Felger loves to take two facts and connect them to a third thing that isn't necessarily relevant. Does it all the time. You know, they can't do this, they can't do that. That's why this happens. I mean, it's not true. But what are you going
to
do?
Let's go to Dana in Connecticut. Hey, Dana.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for holding on.
I'd like to weigh in on three quick things really quickly. One is I agree with Andy as much as I don't like to agree with you, Andy. I agree 100%. It's much better to beat the Jets when they're relevant, when it hurts the most, when they're bloviating how good they are and we give them a smackdown. It's a little boring to this weekend.
And I'm guessing it's even more so for you in Connecticut because you're closer to the New York area, the tri-state area.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing but Jet and Giant fans. It's mainly Big Blue, but a lot of Jet fans, and they're very arrogant. They got their tail between their legs now. I used to look forward to, you know, giving them a good beating when they were relevant.
Yep.
It's just like when we play the Ravens and the Steelers. Steelers a little bit less now than before. It's all, there's, the juices are flowing. I just love to beat a team when it hurts the most, when it's a competitive rivalry.
Well said, Dana, and I don't know why it pains you to agree with me.
No, I'm just teasing you. I like you, Andy. Quickly, I want to weigh on two quick points. I think when you look at Brady, Gronk, and Revis, obviously Brady is the biggest loss. We could least afford to lose him. But I disagree. I think Revis is a bigger loss than Gronk in this respect. You take him away, the offense now dictates, and they can exploit your weakness. They can go, their number two and three options are open because you have to allocate more roll-up coverage to their one option. So it really hurts the team concept to lose Revis, even though Gronk is such an impact player. Offensively, you can kind of maneuver things around him with Wright and with LaFell and more Edelman and kind of mix and match. I think Revis would be a bigger loss. And lastly, I think the Patriots, you guys have the honor and privilege, and you really don't realize it until you get beyond it, how honored it is to be a part of the most powerful, most dynamic dynasty in football history, period. We're in the midst of it, and I don't think people realize how dominant they've been. And to say, take away the fact that they haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years, it's like saying Marino wasn't a good quarterback because he didn't win one.
That's exactly how I feel about it, Dana. That's exactly how I feel.
I know it's the whole, you know, the whole enchilada. It puts so much emphasis on winning. But, I mean, you know, we can make excuses. Welker drops the ball, the Tyree catch. We would have had him anyway. We were there, and we've been consistent. I mean, we didn't make the playoffs at 11-5 without Brady. It's an amazing thing what the Patriots are doing. It's just, I think.
Preach it, brother.
I've waited a long, long time, and when people detract from that, they're just jealous because they are the.
I agree. I totally agree with everything that Dana just said.
They just got to get that fourth Super Bowl though to shut the Steeler and Niner fans and say, well, you didn't get four.
I'm just going to let you know now. Not going to shut them up.
No, nor should it.
And it shouldn't.
And I also would disagree. I don't think you waited a long time for this. I don't think you could have even dreamed of this as a Patriots fan. You know, for me specifically, when I was watching Bo Jackson and the Raiders because Patriots games weren't on TV because they were that irrelevant and sucky, you could not have imagined that. You know what's going to happen. 12 out of 14 years, they'll win the division. Right. They'll go to five Super Bowls.
But you were waiting for that time when it's us.
Yeah, but you couldn't. Us was 2001. Yeah. Right. You thought us was 2001.
That's what I'm saying. But
we are 14 years later, and you're still us.
Right. This is beyond comprehension.
I never imagined that they could.
You couldn't.
They could be this good. No. Even when they won 3 out of 4, I figured, well, this is going to be a couple of down years coming, right? Yeah.
This is unimaginable.
NASA writes in, this all boils down to the difference between a rival and a nemesis.
I was just kidding about the space shuttle thing. You didn't. I don't blame you for the Patriots not winning the Super Bowl.
This all boils down to the difference between a rival and a nemesis. A rivalry is like fighting with your brother. You want them to be tough and be able to stand up for themselves outside of your house because they represent your family, and at the end of the day, you still love them, like Army versus Navy.
Big brother douche.
But when they are home, you want to be able to kick their ass so they know who's boss. A nemesis is someone you hate so much, you wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire to put them out. You want them to suffer.
Like
you
Tom
don't
Curran.
Care if they ever do well because you have no connection to them except for your hatred. The New Jersey Jets and any other New York, New Jersey team are my nemesis. Paul and Fred run the show. Andy and Eric take themselves too seriously.
Said no one ever anywhere.
Like Andy trying to pass off the big head talk to Fred in his fedora. You mad, bro? There you go.
I like that little "you mad, bro" that they've should have thrown in when.
Yeah, but I don't know what it means. What does it mean? I didn't understand. What did I
when
do with
people take shots at you.
No, I get the "you mad, bro." What's the last
You get
part?
It, Eric, when they make
fun
of Andy.
When they make fun of Andy.
Right.
Right.
I'm not mad, bro.
You get mad.
You get mad at everybody.
I'm going to make him mad.
He's mad now.
I mean, does anybody take themselves less seriously than me?
Malachi.
Yeah, I have to defend the big head on that one.
But
I don't think Andy takes himself too seriously.
At least I know what to call Tom Curran now. He's not my rival. He's my nemesis.
Well, oh, you,
I wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire.
You know, oh, boy.
There's
you
a lot of Brian Murray there. Yeah. There's a lot of Brian Murray there.
We've gone public with it since he wrote about it in his mailbag this week. So
he wrote about his feud with you in a mailbag?
Yeah, apparently he was asked...
Hold on,
a member of PR sent it to me, you know, the screen capture of it. He was asked, like, which member of the media does he most avoid or dislike or something.
Is there anybody in the media
and
he put me in,
blah, 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 blah. So now we're as long as we're public with it, now I can just call him out in public, right?
I like Tom Curran. You know that.
Well, you're just a punani.
Yes.
You think he'll headbutt you and break your nose.
Yes.
True. Malachi.
But I also like Tom. I really do. I mean, I don't agree with why he so doesn't like you, but.
Well, the bottom line is we are two ball busters, but he's a sensitive ball buster.
No, I said the reason.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I am not a sensitive ball buster.
Hold on, Malachi. No, I can't defend it.
I fire back. I don't get mad. I fire back. There's a difference. A good ball buster will fire back with more ball busting.
Just from afar,
I don't know.
Fred and I,
you will shut the hell up.
Fred and I have made an observation that your "quote unquote" not caring that Tom Curran doesn't like you has taken on very Brian Morey-like qualities.
No, but I like it.
I don't care, but I'm going to get him.
No, right. I'm just playing it up because it's an angle now. Because you know he went public
I'm just playing it up now.
Right. And you know it's good for Comcast because you know we compete in the ratings. Although, do we compete? He's the Jets. I'm the Patriots. So you know
that's true.
Hammer and nail.
You got him there. All right, Malachi, go ahead. So, thanks for holding on there.
All right, then. How y'all doing? I just have a few things I want to touch on here. You know, it came to my attention, you know, when listening to y'all talk yesterday and today. You know, I really don't care if the Jets are good or not. You know, I'm not really worried about them, especially, you know, when you have Rex Ryan every year talking about, you know, how, you know, the Patriots are going to have to worry about the Jets when it really should be the other way around. The Jets should have to worry about the Patriots. You know, so I could care less, you know, if they suck, if they're good. You know, I'd rather have them suck. You know, I want to win the division easily every year. I want to go to the Super Bowl every year. So I don't really want anything to stand in our way. You know, and if they continue to suck, that's fine with me. You know, and, you know, the other thing is, I think that you know, I do think we're going to a Super Bowl this year, you know, but another thing that kind of, you know, gets under my skin and, you know, kind of what makes me laugh more so than gets under my skin is you have teams like Miami or the Jets, you know, the Bills or, you know, Tennessee or, you know, whatever team that's really not that good, you know, they'll come and they'll say, okay, we'll talk the whole week. You'll see it on Facebook, you know, how they're going to beat us, smash us. And I think they know the outcome of that game. You know, like, I'll give you an example. Like, last year of us going into, you know, the Denver game and the AFC Championship game, I knew we was going to lose that game before the game even started.
I remember. You know, I remember when you called and said that.
So, you know, the people in Miami, they were saying, you know, how they were going to beat us, you know, how they were going to just, you know, come to our house and, you know, really give us an upset. I knew we were going to win that game, and I really think Miami fans knew that we were going to win that game, too. But, you know, I think we're going to the Super Bowl this year. I just want to say that, but I think Seattle's going, too, and I think that, you know, I think we'll lose it because I just think Seattle's defense is, you know, too nice for us to, you know, do anything against
them. Too nice.
But I also want to touch on another thing. I remember those rivalries between the Ravens and, you know, the Patriots when the Ravens were good. I don't really consider them to be that good now. That was back when you know, Ray Lewis and you know, their safety was there. You know, and Anquan Boldin. I feared them, and I hated to go against the playoffs with them because I knew that, you know, we were going to lose. They were 2-3, you know, and against us in our house in the playoffs. Yeah. And, you know, I feared that matchup. So, you know, that's why I kind of, you know, I don't care about competition and stuff, you know.
Right.
They suck.
Right.
Yeah.
You just want it easy.
All right. Thanks, Malachi.
If anybody's Brian Morey, it's Malachi. Did you hear what he said?
Yeah,
One thing that gets under my skin.
But
actually,
really,
it just makes
laugh
me laugh.
It.
Well, does it get under your skin or it makes you laugh? And another thing, Twitter.
What do you got on the Twitter machine?
Well, just from New England Patriots, we're running that thing where which player are you? You answer some questions and it matches up with a player.
Yeah.
Getting some good run. A lot of media members are doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Giardi's bragging that he's Darrell Revis. No surprise. I'm a shutdown kind of guy. But, you know, Jimmy G must not have been an option or otherwise that's what I would have been and blah, blah, blah. But they seem to be liking it.
Oh, yeah?
Michael.
It's getting some pub.
Are we?
Michael, you know I have a lot of respect for you. What are you doing?
You have a lot of respect for him?
Michael?
Did you see that thing he was wearing yesterday?
I didn't say I like his clothes. I just
have
a lot of
like
respect for
red...
him.
Eric, why don't you describe
it? I think
it,
he does.
You have words to describe it.
I think he does a good job, and I think he works.
Oh, I think he's the best in Boston sports media, actually.
So I have a lot of respect for him.
I quite literally do.
Mike Giardi?
I think he might be the most versatile man in Boston sports media. He hosts... He can do Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots. He's an insider for the Patriots. I mean, he's every much as informative on that network as Tom Curran is, and he doesn't get the same paycheck.
It's unbelievable.
And he can do any other sport. I'm not blowing smoke up his. I think he's phenomenal.
Okay, better than Hector Luongo?
What an a-hole. What did Hector ever do to deserve a cheap shot like that from you?
I've heard him on the radio. He talks all sports.
When was the last time you heard him on the radio?
He used to be Felger on the Felger show.
That was like 10 years ago.
I don't listen to a lot of radio.
Yes, you do. Eric, can you describe Giardi's jacket?
He had like a...
I apologize 1,000 times.
That's Ted Sarandis. He's another good one.
Who was on the air 10 years ago.
Another good one, he says.
He had like a
John,
a dark
I look
red...
like something you give to your
for
kid
Christ's
when you...
sake.
You made Eric mad.
You did.
God almighty.
You know, Andy and I have the reputation for being the temper on this show. I'm sorry. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, it's more extreme. It's in smaller doses.
Yeah, it takes a while.
How about explosion per word spoken
oh,
on the show?
He wins.
I never stop talking.
Jerk
so I'm,
like you.
I'm about to go off the handle.
Now he's doing
while.
It on purpose.
I'm not going to talk.
So what was
to
it?
A
was
jerk
it?
Like you.
He had like
red.
It was like a rust. No, not even rust. More like a brick. Brick-colored, like...
Cranberry brick.
Brick-colored, yeah, sports coat. And he had, like, a bluish-red... It looked like a... Not really a corsage, but like a flower-type
It was the weirdest thing ever.
On his lapel. And we were joking that he
had
should
prom
use
tonight.
It was like one of those clown things where the water squirts out.
I mean,
it
was
as
or like had a camera in it and he was taping something.
He's wearing a bootleg.
Like, it was ridiculous. Absolutely
ridiculous.
He's worn some weird clothes.
Oh, yeah. He likes to push the envelope.
He definitely pushes
great
the envelope.
Great guy, though.
Yeah. Yes.
Good friend.
Nice guy.
Very talented and a great guy.
A little creepy in the locker room, though.
Which I don't know how he works with Curran. They're exact opposites.
I always see pictures of him kind of sneaking around lockers and stuff. And
what?
Poking his head out.
Oh,
no. That's
he does have that
to get
nap.
The microphone in there.
He likes it. You have to
I know why
he likes the corner shot.
He always seems to be that head, that face in the back.
You think he does that on purpose?
Yes.
Yes.
To try to get on TV?
Yes. Which is weird because he's
on TV. That's like
why would you want to be on more?
Yeah, that's
well,
what, that's
just
what, like,
shows his
print
bosses that
do.
He's doing his job.
Oh, I saw a new commercial for our show, which is 7:30 tonight. Great interview with Paul Perillo and Stephen Gostkowski, right? But right. I saw they have a new commercial running. It's
I did start laughing in the middle of it. I don't know how they're going to edit
but that's
that.
Fine.
Oh no, I had to like stop.
Oh, a new commercial with us in the boardroom during the morning meeting. The first time I had seen it, that doesn't look bad.
Okay,
I thought that looked pretty good for us.
Well, no, I don't know.
Have you seen the show?
You haven't seen the show all year, Fred?
Have you taken that quiz?
I've seen a couple.
I have not yet.
Quiz?
But if I'm not James Devlin, I'm quitting.
Are we going to?
Oh, I don't know.
Should we all take it?
On the air?
Well, no, not necessarily on the air.
I think I did it, and I ended up being Gronk. No, serious.
Really?
I see you as more of a Will
Fork. You think you did it.
I actually wrote it.
Which Patriot are you?
So did I, but I didn't know we were saying it.
Apparently, Zolak took it, and he was Gronk.
That I can see. I mean, hello, meathead frat boy, yes.
There you go.
I'm probably going to be like a Brady, like a cerebral, studly, leading man type.
Leading man type.
Andy, I mean, Eric, will you be hoping to be Ryan Allen?
No.
No, you know who you would be? Brian Stork.
Now, see.
He's such a bad guy. It's ridiculous.
It really, truly, because.
What? You're talented, but you're an a-hole.
So we're both Brian Stork.
Temperamental artist.
No, I'm Mike Vrabel. If I were anybody, my closest would be Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
A-hole, ball buster, yes.
Drew's not here anymore, so I don't care.
Yeah. You're a big stiff?
Yeah.
No, it's not you want to be him. You want to be in him.
It's a big stiff.
Whoa!
Don't make this out to be like an Andy
vulgar.
Gronk bang.
It was very vulgar.
Because it was never like that with me and Drew.
That's
so
true.
Know.
He gets all serious.
Don't make it out to be all like.
No. Giardi and Garoppolo-like.
Yeah. Giardi, Garoppolo, Hart, Gronkowski. It's not like that in any way.
Let's go to one more call before we go to our picks. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
And he's farting.
I see. But
I smell.
Just to touch on a couple of quick topics. I know you all talked about the Jets for everything, and I know clearly, you know, the New England Patriots are gonna have a lot of, you know, fans from the Boston area, but I
hope so.
Clearly. But like straight from Memphis, I think that's kinda intriguing. Of course, I'm from Tennessee, so I wanted to see really what brought him to that team. I don't know if some I don't think he's on that Facebook page or something, but I'm encouraging him if he's listening right now to try to get on there, because I think that's really intriguing to me, you know, being from Tennessee. I always ask people every time I see the flags, you know, where's the rivalry? I mean, 9 times out of 10, it's a, you know, the Peyton Brady thing. It's could be the Rams, you know, dating back to, I know that was a lot of mine, you know, just whenever they, because a lot of Tennessee teams were the Rams, the Grizzlies weren't here, the Titans weren't here, so I was like, what, 11 or 12. So I just wanted to see what brought him to that team.
Okay.
Whenever, yeah, I really want to know that.
Okay.
But getting up to some
Trey from Memphis, topics. If you're listening.
Yeah. If you can, man, I think that's really intriguing to me. But getting on to some football talk, this year is really similar to the 14-2 season that we had for me because of my confidence level and just I know the defense is way better. I mean, it's a lot better that year. But I really want to see – I can't wait to see this. I know this is an old cliche that's really boring, but I'm not afraid of the Ravens, no Seahawks, nobody. I really think the Patriots, the only team that should be afraid of are themselves. Mm. They could really beat themselves this year. Trying to outsmart people. I know their strategy works at times, but sometimes they can, have questionable calls. And I really feel like that this year they can beat themselves by trying to outthink themselves when they should do simple stuff. But I'm really confident this year from kicker to quarterback, all of them, that this is the team that can do it. There's not, if you remember that year, that 14-2 year, we beat everybody that was in the playoffs on the AFC.
That's true. That was kind of the calling card we had. We beat all the good teams on the road.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's very similar this year.
Yep.
You're beating all these teams, don't, outsmart yourself. Go in there, take care of business, and you'll be in the Super Bowl. That's all I got. I'll talk to y'all.
All right. Thanks, Melvin. All right. So it's that time, Thursday, to go around the NFL and do our picks. Eric's looking at his watch.
Yeah, because I have to go to the locker room.
Why?
The locker room.
Nah.
Why?
They don't start till 2.
At 2, you're through. It might be.
I'll just stay, for a couple
I'll
of picks.
I'll see what the results were from last
week. What happened last week?
Oh, you're such a douche. You really are.
Why? You had the big week.
No, but he's in first place.
I'll stay for the standings. Why don't we talk about that and then I'll go.
14-2.
Woo!
For Andy.
Wow.
13-3 for me.
I'm doing my Kim Young-jung wave, whatever his name
in
is.
In case you missed that, 14-2 for Andy, 13-3 for me.
Good.
So worse than me, right?
12-4 for Eric, and 11-5 for Fred.
Wow. Oh, we went in a nice little descending
again.
Order. Impressive week.
Yeah. ATS, three-way tie for the top spot between Andy, Paul, and Fred at 10-5-1.
Oh. You suck, Eric.
And
did I
Eric,
make them?
8-7-1.
Oh, wow. I did last week. Yeah, that's right.
Season standings, Eric maintains his lead, although getting smaller. Here comes Andy. 156-67-1 for Eric, 151-72-1 for Andy.
Wait, how many games different? Five games.
You're five games.
With only 2 weeks.
Because you had a huge week this week.
146-77-1 for me, 141-82-1 for Fred. ATS, Eric, 123-99-2, the only one with fewer than 100 losses. Then it's this is so wrong. I screwed this up. This is all screwed up. I had a hard time with this. I don't know what's going on.
It's math. I had a hard time with math.
Yeah, it's wrong. I'll have to get back to you next week. I had a hard time it's the transferring from 1 week to the next that's the problem. I'm not using the right numbers all the time. So I have me listed as 118, 104, and 2, and Fred's 116, 102, and 2. That makes no sense. That's a different amount of games. And Andy is 115, 107, and 2.
But we're close.
Who knows? Eric, it's all wrong.
No, Eric is leading. That I know, but we're all 4 or 5 games back. I'll get back to
see what happens when he's not winning. Suddenly it makes no sense. Muddies the water. Who knows?
Absolutely can be certain that if I were leading,
you'd have the math right.
I don't know.
All right, so let's start with tonight. Big game. Tennessee at Jacksonville.
Oh, I got it. I just transferred it wrong.
Okay.
And I was going to say, how'd you screw that part? Like,
I transferred it wrong.
You look at a number and you write the number down.
I am 118, 104, and 2. Fred is 116, 106, and 2. Andy is 115, 107, and 2.
Very cool.
I'm in last place.
With the spread. I'm sorry, ATS.
Yeah.
I'm not
only
to
one
say,
back. Right?
You're not allowed to say against the spread.
Well,
no,
I don't
spread.
Want, I mean, I want you to sound like an insider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because everybody never says ATS.
No, but again, the fact that we're all over 100 ATS.
We're well above 500.
I mean, 500.
Andy's 8 games over 500.
We know football. It's simple.
Again, go and check out the Boston Globe and see their weekly picks and see who's over 500.
Does anybody read the Boston Globe?
Good point.
Oh, quick FCC note.
Yeah.
Did you see Rex referenced it yesterday?
Yeah.
When he said, I watched the TV tape, but I couldn't watch the whole thing.
That was funny. Watching the game.
That
was funny.
See, that's why he's funny.
And that wasn't even a shot at anybody for the Patriots. That was more of a shot of, like, the idiots who think it was offensive.
What's the number?
Tennessee at Jacksonville. You might want to introduce the game. Number.
Oh, I thought we already had.
I had. I did.
You might want to pay attention.
Sorry. My bad. I don't remember you saying it. Did you give it the proper billing for the best
Thursday night football?
The best Thursday night.
In case you want to know,
Tennessee
6 hours, 20 minutes, and 52 seconds till kickoff.
Tennessee by 3.
Wow. This is a D-O-G. Although Phil Simms said he was excited last week, looking forward to this game. I'm going to take Jacksonville. You know why? Jordan Tobman plays for Jacksonville. That's the only reason. I get nothing else. This is a crap-ass game.
I agree. I will also take Jacksonville, although is Bortles not playing?
He's not?
I don't know. He's got a bad foot. I don't know if he's...
Who's their backup? Is it still what's-his-name?
Right?
Plus, they got a pool in their stadium. That's cool.
But I will go with Jacksonville because I'll just take the home team.
We should do a pool.
Yeah, I'm mad at Tennessee for losing to the Jets. But
be cool if we put a pool in, and then in the winter you could skate on it.
Taking Jacksonville, yeah.
Let's put a pool in.
All right, now, this week, a little wrinkle. two Saturday games.
Doubleheader.
Saturday at
two of them.
Saturday at 4:30, Philadelphia at Washington.
Washington, Philadelphia at Washington, that is? 7.5, Philadelphia.
The resurgent RG3, look at him and Jay Gruden celebrating on the sideline. They're kissing cousins. I'll take the Eagles to win and cover.
I will take Philadelphia as well. Yeah, and I'll lay the points.
Yeah, I got to go with Philly in this one.
They need it. They got to bounce back.
They do need it, but you can never really feel safe with Mark Sanchez as the quarterback.
No.
True. The other Saturday game starts at 8:25, San Diego at San Francisco.
Quick logistical question. Network and broadcast crews, and how's this all working out?
Yeah, because I would assume that the San Diego game is CBS and the other one is Fox, but I don't know.
No, I think the other one's NFL Network.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know. Huh. So the CBS game is NFL Network?
I don't know.
Instead of CBS?
I don't know which is which. Let me see.
Well, I was just looking at the San Diego is at San Francisco. That would normally be a CBS game.
Let me do a deeper dive. The
San Francisco by one.
The 49er and Charger game is NFL Network and CBS.
So that's like an early season. So that'll be
Nance
and Sim. Yeah.
Well, if they're doing a game Thursday night, I don't
know. And the
Philadelphia-Washington
game is just NFL Network.
Oh. I would have thought that one would have been Fox. Okay,
I will take
San Francisco by one. Phil Rivers banged up, missed practice yesterday.
Saw that. Now, is this a new injury or is this a reoccurrence of that other injury we were talking about leading up to the Patriots game where he had the rib or the back and there was
Schefter say that it's a much more significant injury than people are aware of.
I'll take the Niners at home, I guess.
Yeah, turned into a crap game, didn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
I am going to take San Diego because they still have something to play for and San Francisco doesn't. But
I just feel like this is a week where, other than the Patriots game, you just don't know what's going on in these games.
That's why I said it.
Who knows what's going to happen.
I could go 1-15 or 15-1.
You got it right. I'm going to go with San Francisco, but.
Wait a minute. Couldn't I go 16-0? Couldn't I go 1-15 or 16-0? I'm assuming I'm winning the Patriots game.
Yeah. That's what he said.
He said 1-15 or 15-1. Oh. Wouldn't you go 16-0?
Yeah.
Because you know the Patriots.
Oh, that's true.
You're right about that.
Good, Andy.
Words have meaning.
That's true. I'll go with San Francisco, but I don't feel good about it. Now
what could it? Could Harbaugh just leave? Like today? Could he say, "I took the job at Michigan. I'm out"?
Yeah,
I suppose.
Especially if he's pissy. Like if they just flat out don't get along, you know, and just I'm gone.
My guess is
$50 million.
He's going to make them fire him. So he can
collect money.
That would be my guess.
Doesn't sound like they'll fire him. How does trading a coach work? You can just flat out trade him?
I believe that you can, yeah.
There is no, he doesn't have to agree to it?
I would imagine he'd have to agree with it, but. So I don't know. I know they've monitored some of that stuff to prevent it, but I don't know all the.
You can't. I mean, it'd be weird if you could just flat out just trade him. You're gone.
Like, I love coaching this team, and all of a sudden I'm going to trade you to the other team for two draft picks. I don't think you could do that.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Cleveland at Carolina, Sunday at 1.
Is he not in there?
He left.
Yeah. All right, we got to skip over that one because that's off the board. So I need a
Detroit at Chicago.
Detroit at Chicago. Detroit by 7.
I'll take Detroit over the Jimmy Clausens.
Oh, God.
Do you see he has the lowest passer rating? It might have been QBR, one of those. But it's like below Vince Young. It's below all these guys that are, you know, Jamarcus Russell.
To play a minimum number of games?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. But he was well below Vince Young, Jamarcus Russell, these other laughingstock quarterbacks. And, you know, that's a debacle. I mean, that's a borderline unprecedented debacle. Really, $100 million franchise quarterback, supposedly, who you're now benching, and just the whole feud, the money, the guarantees, that's weird.
Yep.
Okay. I will take Detroit as well. Kevin, can you get the Cleveland-Carolina spread for us, please?
I'll take Detroit as well. While we wait for that Cleveland-Carolina spread, Baltimore at Houston, Sunday at 1.
Baltimore by 5.5.
I mean, I have to take Baltimore, right? This is another one of those teams that's down to its 17th quarterback.
Carolina by 3.5. When we get to that,
I will take Baltimore.
That would have been the time to tell
us. I don't think that was on the air, actually. Was it? Was that on the air? That was just in our ears.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't know that. See, Kevin jumped in with 3.5, but you guys didn't hear it. It's awkward.
Plus, we already went over that game, so we can't. All right, Kevin's defense.
Is that the first I would go back to?
I would take I will take Baltimore as well.
Poor Billy O'Brien.
Yeah, I got to go with Baltimore.
Done a fine job with that team.
If Fitzpatrick was still playing, I would have gone with Houston in that game. But okay, so let's go to Cleveland at Carolina.
Another Fred Kerr soundbite.
Carolina by 3.5.
I missed the first team.
Cleveland at Carolina.
Johnny Manziel sucks, so I'll take Carolina.
I will take Carolina as well. Something to play for, and even though that they're having a miserable year, everybody's in it in that division. So,
yep, Carolina. We did ball. Minnesota at Miami. Minnesota at Miami.
He really is.
Miami by 6.5.
I will take Miami. Yeah, I'll take Miami to win and cover, even though they pooped themselves here a little bit. They're at home.
They sharted.
They may have sharted, not really pooped. Shard's a good word.
They sharted. They didn't know they were pooping. And then all of a sudden, it was too late.
Like me in the elevator in Buffalo.
Right. I will take Miami as well. Interesting to see how they handle these last two games.
Yep. AFC after East what team, happened to him. You always take the Miami.
Is he fired?
Sunday
yeah,
at 1.
Out.
Okay.
Atlanta. That's how good the division is. They're all half the division's going to be looking for new coaches next year.
Atlanta at New Orleans. Atlanta at New Orleans.
New Orleans by 6.
Wow. The way they've been playing.
I'll take New Orleans. Speaking of teams that are going to be looking for a new coach.
Oh, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't actually speak of the team that needed a new coach.
Yeah, I will take the Saints as well, but I think 4 in a row at home they've lost. Could this be 5? Could this be 5? They still have a shot to be 8-8 to sort of save face.
And they have
the
a good offense. Like, their offense is in yards is like 2nd, maybe?
Yeah, turnovers.
Kinda,
turnovers
I know. The Atlanta defense blows. So.
Paul, I'll take the Saints, but give me that number.
Okay. 6.
Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Kansas City at Pittsburgh.
Finally, we have a game that could go either way. Pittsburgh by 3.
Kansas City at Pittsburgh. The surprising number 1 offense in football with no defense.
I'll expect you to go 16-0 this week, Paul, for that snarky comment.
No, and if you don't, you're fired.
What I'm waiting for is for us to disagree on a pick that could go – all the games could go either way, but yet we've picked the same team in every game.
If we're all 16-0, then you'll be right.
I don't think we'll
go
16-0.
If not, you're fired. Get out.
I don't think we'll go 16-0, but I don't think we're having a hard time deciding who we're picking.
I could go either way in a lot of these. San Diego, I could go either way.
Pittsburgh.
Tennessee, Jacksonville, I could go either way. Minnesota, Miami, Atlanta, New Orleans.
How about Philadelphia, Washington? How about Green Bay, Tampa?
Okay,
how about Detroit,
there's
Chicago?
A couple. Just keep going.
How about Baltimore, Houston?
Pittsburgh. I will take Pittsburgh.
I will take Kansas City for an upset.
What's that number?
3.
I'll go Kansas City, too.
I don't know. That offense is clicking. Le'Veon Bell becoming a star.
Le'Veon Bell is terrific.
And you know what? Both he and Mark Ingram, to me, look like totally different running backs this year. I think they lost weight. They look quicker. They look faster. I mean, I'm intrigued by both of what those guys have done.
Green Bay at Tampa Bay.
Green Bay by 10.5.
Green Bay pooped themselves last week, a little bit of a bounce back week in a big way. I see some big plays and some big points and a big win.
I do too. They're not playing an AFC East team this week, so they'll roll.
Yeah.
I will take Green Bay, but I'll take the points.
Okay.
Sunday, 4:05, Giants at St. Louis.
St. Louis by 5.
Giants at St. Louis by 5. Yeah, this feels... See, the head tells you this game is that defense gets after Manning, they turn it over, all this crap, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to go with Odell Beckham.
Really?
Just picking Odell Beckham.
Okay.
I don't know why. Feels like a game I should go the other way, so I'm going to go the other way.
I'll take St. Louis. I just think they're a better team, and they're at home.
I'll take St. Louis as well.
They're big at the Trans World Dome.
4:25, Indy at Dallas. Indy at
Dallas. Dallas by 3. This should be a good game. This is just a 4 o'clock game, huh?
Yep.
See, I'd be much more intrigued to watch a game like that than the division games that they always pound.
Seattle at Arizona?
Pound at you. Yeah, I'm not really interested in that at all.
Oh, for crying out loud.
They play twice every year. I don't care.
Really like it football. Means something a little bit.
It means a lot.
Just a little bit.
It does. It means a lot. You are correct. I can't argue with that. It means more than the Indy-Dallas game. He's right. I'm not.
I know. No, I'm waiting for you to be done.
There was no sarcasm there. It means more. I'm glad you're waiting for me to be done. You had a pick ready.
No, I'm waiting to analyze it because unlike the Cam Newton game where I think it's pretty clear Cam Newton's going to play, I don't know what DeMarco Murray's going to do. And if DeMarco Murray doesn't play, I think that's a big factor in this game.
It is.
We saw the Patriots run the ball with Jonas Gray down the Colts' throat. If DeMarco Murray plays, I think the Cowboys are going to win this game somewhat easily by double digits. If DeMarco Murray doesn't play, then I have my concerns. I think you're going to see a little bit of a shootout. But I am going to go with Dallas because I think DeMarco Murray is going to give it the old one-handed try.
So if he can't play, you don't think they could just run it down their throat anyway?
Not as much.
Jonas Gray could? So, Fred, to your point, Jonas Gray's?
Right.
Well, Jonas Gray doesn't steal things.
Okay.
I don't know how that's relevant. The guy steals underwear.
I will take Indy. Dallas has struggled badly at home, and I will continue that trend.
Did you see what was announced last night? 50 Cent just signed a $70 million endorsement deal with an underwear company that sells $100 pairs of underwear for men.
Wow.
I forgot the name. Because I will never look it up because I'm never spending $100.
Like fur-lined or something?
I have no idea, but we were talking about the explosion of high-end underwear.
A happy ending?
I mean, seriously. And by the way, my Hanes did that in my sleep last night.
Oh, God.
He's unbelievable. He's absolutely unbelievable.
Wow. You need to get it more,
there are
man.
No boundaries.
No, I've noticed that. I used to think that, but it hasn't played out statistically lately.
Well, you've been getting it, huh?
Now he's telling us how much he's getting.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's like, not necessarily a direct...
Because Christian has too, so that's... Wow.
Wait, I don't bang my mother.
Huh?
That was bad.
You idiot. I don't bang my mother. I bang my wife.
Well, so does he.
Some would like to say...
No, he bangs... The joke is he's my mother. What did you just accuse me of?
Let's see.
Who are you picking?
This is a good game.
Dallas is 3-4 at home. I'm going with that trend.
This is a good test for the Cowboys defense because that's a question still.
John Rook on the line with his agent. I can't believe I'm still working with
number?
These guys.
Dallas by 3.
Paul's just like beside him.
I'm really uncomfortable with this talk.
I'm going to take Indy. Paul's uncomfortable. Buffalo at Oakland, Sunday, 4:25. Buffalo at Oakland.
Buffalo by 5.5.
Buffalo at Oakland, who I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that John Gruden turned down $100 million to coach that team. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Maybe it was a 30-year deal.
I don't care. It's $100 million. If you can lock me, NFL contracts are guaranteed. It's not like a player where it's a fake $100 million. It's $100 million. I am going to go with Buffalo because they're the better football team.
Yeah, I'll go with Buffalo, too. Oakland stinks.
Maybe it was $100 million, but Mark Davis is still in charge of personnel.
I'd still take it.
Really?
Fire me in a year, and then I'll collect the $96 million you owe me.
I'll take Buffalo.
You would turn down a $100 million deal? I mean, there's...
Me? No.
No, but even if you're John...
I turned down $100.
But if you were a millionaire, would you turn down a $100 million deal?
If I had all the money I needed...
I mean, to be a coach, not to, like... Not asking you $100 million to do something that's dangerous or... immoral. I mean, to be a coach, $100 million.
If I was already comfortable and I had to work for someone I don't respect, I would probably turn it down.
But what everybody says, doesn't everybody say like Gruden's the job he wants is Oak, like that's the special job to him, the Raiders. So it's the special job, and it's $100 million.
Has he said that? I don't know.
I don't know. I assume when people say stuff, it comes from him, and it's just been circulated through channels.
There's a reason he turned it down.
I think it's false. I don't think he turned down $100 million.
Okay, all right.
I don't really believe Jason Lockenfora.
Okay. This is the Sunday night game, Seattle at Arizona. This is a game I'll be watching.
Seattle by 8.
Hotball. He's not interested. Number one seed in the NFC on the line.
Well,
he's
I just
interested.
Think that it's if Arizona had a fighting chance, I think it'd be a little bit different. I mean,
you don't buy
you're down to your fourth quarterback. I'm sorry,
Bruce Arians.
I do buy Bruce Arians. Absolutely.
He's got me convinced they can win with anybody.
I'm so impressed with what they've been able to do and keep it together. But you know, you're going into a big game.
No, I believe in Bruce. I'll take the Seahawks.
There's a reason the home team with the better record is getting 8 points.
I'll take the Seahawks, but
I will too.
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks.
I'm going to take Arizona.
Who's the what's his name? Paul. Lindley? Ryan Lindley?
No, it's all about Paul.
It's always about Paul. Is this your first time doing the show? He thinks everything relates to him.
Because he finally had to have a pick that was different from the one I had.
But it's Lindley, right?
Ryan Lindley will be starting.
Against, you know, a Seattle team that... No. But a Seattle defense that suddenly looks like the scary Seattle defense.
I think Arizona could end up with negative points in this game.
Yeah, that's kind of how
I just want to go all in with Arizona this game. And I want to, you know, let's go all the way.
I'm glad you're on board with Bruce Arians. I don't know what
I'll be watching and rooting for Arizona.
I thought you didn't care.
Why wouldn't I care?
I thought you said you didn't care. You weren't going to watch. You wish that other game was the game.
I do, and I would be more interested in that. I think the division games that they think that we're most interested in, I'm not as.
But this isn't a case of one of those.
Yeah, it is.
This isn't Redskins Eagles. This is the NFC number one seed on the line. This is they got it right.
Yeah, this turned out right for them.
I admit it. There's more on the line in this game than the other game. I want to see a game that I don't see every year twice. That's all.
But you don't see these teams play for the number one seed every year twice.
So what?
All right.
They play twice every year.
But it's different now. You just admitted it's a major difference because they got Ryan Lindley. He can't win against the great.
That's a point on the other side. That's a point that the game's not watchable.
Not if they win. If they win, it's why it's a great game. Can you believe Ryan Lindley? That's how great the Cardinals are.
And if that happens, I'll come in.
That's a Steve Buckley-like great story.
I'll come in next Tuesday. I'll say, you know what? I was wrong. I didn't give Arizona a shot.
I doubt it.
I didn't give Arizona a shot with Ryan Lindley, and they won. And, man, that was really compelling football. I think it's going to be 33-3.
If it's not Vince Ferragamo against Drew Bledsoe, Paul's not interested.
That's right.
That's a good point, Fred.
Yeah.
Fred, you are full of good points today.
Monday night, Denver at Cincinnati. Denver at Cincinnati.
Denver by 3.
Denver by 3 at Cincinnati. Obviously, this is a major game from Patriots fans' perspectives, depending on how the team does. Could be a major game either way, depending on how the team does. I'm going to take the Broncos. I think they're the better football team, and I just can't pick Andy Dalton even at home to knock off Manning in a game that matters. I'm taking the Broncos. The running Broncos.
I don't think it'll be close. I think Cincinnati will continue to do their primetime thing and poop themselves.
Good point.
I am rooting heavily, however, for Cincinnati in this game because that would probably ensure that the Patriots game will stay at 1 o'clock in the last week because I think the Patriots game is going to get flexed to 4:25.
Yeah.
I will take Denver to win the game.
I'm picking Cincinnati.
Good for you, Fred. Hope you're right.
The decline continues, and I think that Cincinnati's defense is enough to give Peyton Manning trouble and stop the run. So I think they keep it a game and they pull it out.
11-3 Patriots on the rise. 11-3 Broncos, decline. Decline.
This is like the first week in a while where Fred hasn't gone. They're going to lose out and go 10-6.
I was close. 10-5. 11-5, I mean. All right. Now we go back.
He took away a game.
How much do you owe me, by the way?
For what?
We bet last week that they wouldn't go 10-6.
We did?
Yes.
Yeah, I vouch for that.
How much do you owe me for that?
We'll find out. I forget.
All right. So that means.
What did they bet?
That means lunch?
They bet a lunch.
But they have to buy the whole group lunch.
Right.
No, I don't know.
I remember
that.
There were some early season bets, too, that.
That have not come to fruition either because they're going to finish 13-3.
Well, They were not always Bronco related, I thought. So, Kevin, please look up what those bets were.
Well, I think that the big one that you
had. It'll only take me 3 weeks.
Listen to every show there was.
Right.
Anytime you do a bet, anything, you need to write it down.
Anything
you should have a bet sheet.
Hey, right. Yeah, a bet sheet would be helpful. Yeah.
You know what? We will do that. We will institute the bet sheet, but go back and listen to every show from May to July inclusive and find out what Fred and I bet on.
You guys definitely had a Brady Manning one, right?
I thought he had a
Manning is done one that he said he will not have X, and obviously all of those have been blown out of the water about 2 months ago.
You're right. It was an Eli Manning interception.
No. It was a Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning versus Eli Manning.
But Peyton Manning is done, was what you were
saying.
That
was another bet.
Okay. Well, I won that one.
Okay. How many lunches do you have to buy all of us?
I don't know. And I'm not touchdowns. Buying them anyway, so.
Right. So why don't you just say that?
He learned it from Fred, watching me.
He learned it from watching
all
me.
All right. Patriots. What do we got?
Suddenly, with all that banter, it's still only 159.
All right. Patriots.
Patriots by 10.
Yeah, the Patriots will win by more than 10. This is a non-competitive football game. I think the run defense is better than it was last time. So even though they've added Chris Johnson a little bit more active of late, had that big game a couple weeks ago, I just don't see them running the football down their throats for 220 yards. And if they don't do that, they can't score. I think the Patriots are going to come out and score early, although I said that last week and it didn't work. I think they're going to come out and score early, and then it's just going to get ugly, turnovers, sloppy, game set match. So I think it's 30-10, somewhere in there. Patriots win, and you know, Rex Ryan goes away.
I think the Jets might come out and make it competitive for a little bit. I think they'll play hard until they fall behind and maybe a quarter, quarter and a half. I think late in the second quarter, they might have one of those drives where they, you know, they double up the possessions and the Jets see the handwriting on the wall. And I don't think in the second half it's competitive. But I disagree with Andy a little bit. I do think that the Jets will run the ball a little and try to control the clock a little. I just don't
think they'll do a little.
I don't think they'll be able to do it enough like they did the last game,
right,
where they were able to do it for four quarters and control the clock.
Instead, I mean, they roll out of bed and rush for like a buck 10.
But that was 40 minutes to 20 minutes time of possession. This one's going to be more even, I think. And I think the Patriots just have too much, like 27 to 10, something like that.
Really? Only 27?
Only 27.
How come I didn't get only
30? They average like 31. I'm picking them to get 27.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like...
He always makes me feel bad about
52
like,
to 3.
Something like that.
Somehow he paints it out that I'm like negative.
Something like that.
Well, you are negative a lot.
I'm going to... They're covering a 10-point spread, and it's not going
to
be close.
That is the record, right? 52 to 3, I think. The
59
Patriots,
to nothing.
59 nothing.
Wait,
well, that
56,
was against Arizona, right?
56-3 is the Jets-Patriots.
The Jets game
one.
Was 56-3.
56-3. This will be 57-3. Belichick will go for two at the end and just to break that Jets record. All right.
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
So that's it for us. John Brook is here with the playbook. Hey, John.
57-3.
Yeah.
57
by going for two on the final touchdown.
By going for two on the last play. Now, that would be, I think, something to give us a lot to talk about for the offseason.
You know what would be cool?
And it would certainly send Rex Ryan out on a fine platform, would it not?
Even better than that is if he went for two after every touchdown.
Right.
Like, we're just going for two every time.
Never punts.
You can't stop us.
That was done. Did you ever see the movie Friday Night Lights? In the Texas State Football Championship, the team from Dallas, Carter, went for two on every touchdown.
Yep.
Every play, every touchdown.
Yep.
Just because they were kind of, I don't think it was so much that they didn't have a kicker. They were just cocky and said, you can't stop us.
Okay. Yeah. I
like that.
I did.
Like
I remember
that.
The movie.
Two.
I just probably assumed that they went for two. That's what they did.
Go for two. They go for two. You can't stop us. We're going for two.
No punting, no extra points. Just,
that's what Bill should do.
You know,
that would be phenomenal. Eight, the specialists don't step on the field.
8-0. 16-0. 24-0. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
It would be.
Love it. It's going to go up more than Mass Millions does every week.
You're terrible.
All right, John, have a good show. Then the fantasy's at 4 for us. We'll see you next Tuesday. Pre-game social, 10:45.
Yes.
All right.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.